Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Black family. This is Lady K, aka Seductive Doll, on Facebook, host of the RVA, the Revolutionary Agenda, co-host of Frontline Black News, and co-executive producer of Seductive Black Experience Enhanced. It is the new year, and I am here. And thankfully, you know, I'm usually sick, but I'm here. So let's enjoy the show. It's called Politics from alleged free thinkers. We will be discussing these current false narratives that misled the Black community politically economically and socially in the city of Denver, Colorado, and amongst other cities, but we'll start with Denver, Colorado. In regards to Secretary's loyal candidate for the city of Denver, he'll join us a little later. We also have myself, Romel Understanding as the anchorman, Shabaka Sankori, co-executive producer. Both are currently online. Please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns. And we did issue a little call-in for any bootlicker out here that decides they want to say it. It's okay. You can call in tonight. I did a PSA earlier, and I said, feel free to come on and talk to us. Well, say whatever you got to say, because it's going to be ugly regardless. our show time is January 10th of 2023, 6 p.m., and we're on for about 180 minutes. I don't know what that breaks down to, but I'm just reading it. So let me carry on for a second. I'm going to introduce Romel Understanding and Shabaka Sankori, and then I'm going to lead into our programming. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Anchorman.
Peace. My name is Romel Understanding, the Angel of Peace from the East, understanding and understood in the neighborhood near you, bringing the hope without the door to push the front line campaign. Salute to the fallen soldiers and salute to everybody on the front line. Peace.
Thank you, Anchorman. Go ahead, Shabaka. Welcome to your show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. The air date of this episode is January the 10th, 2023. This is our first show of the year, and tonight's subject is politics from alleged free thinkers. We will be discussing these current false narratives that mislead the black community politically, economically, and socially. Jesse Parrish, mayoral candidate for City of Denver, Lady Che, co-executive producer, Romel Understanding, our anchorman, and myself, co-executive producer. Let's just start off with is that Mr. Parrish has been out there, you know, working diligently, you know, for his candidacy for the mayor. He's also is out there gathering the required number of signatures to be placed on the ballot. From my observation, you know, since the beginning of his campaign, the powers that be in the city of Denver, you know, they marginalized him. They try to discredit him as opposed to giving a man credit for the work that he does. Because every Sunday, this man is going up there, you know, feeding the seniors in Denver, Colorado, Jeff Fayard, you know, you, Mr. Fayard, you know, with your sorry behind, is welcome to give us a call here at 516-418-5996. Now, Mr. Fayard, you have kicked me off of your platform. I think that you are a fraud. I think that you are a sellout, and you're misleading the community, and you're misleading yourself. Okay, now, Mr. Parrish is the only one that I know of who had came out with an agenda of black first, okay? And I believe this is unprecedented. It's because the new mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, she never came out with such an agenda. We're not going to talk about Kamala Harris. She never came out with such an agenda. Barack Obama never came out with such an agenda. Andrew Young, who was the former mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, never came out with such an agenda. And it's about the unity party, okay, as opposed to these two mainstream political parties, you know, the Reptilians and the Democrats, okay? And then, of course, he saw the politicking that they had recently in Washington, D.C., selecting the Speaker of the House guy. Then, of course, you know, it's quite obvious that they got a hidden agenda and what have you. So Mr. Parrish is definitely a man of the people. And I just got a question for, you know, his opponents in the mayor's race in Denver, Colorado. How come you guys are not out there helping Mr. Parrish when he feeds the elderly? How come you guys are not out there when he goes out here and checks on, you know, the sweeps of the homeless encampment? How come you guys are not out there, you know, in the cold and what have you, when he's going out here doing outreach with the community? Simple. The answer is obvious, because you clowns in Denver who are running for mayor, and Jeff Fayard, I don't have no respect for you whatsoever, you know what I'm saying? And once again, the number to call in is 516-418-5996. Okay. So what it is that these individuals, besides Mr. Parris in Denver, Colorado, are politicking, meaning that they don't have the people's best interest at heart, okay, because they've got some other improprieties going on, and I'll let Lady Chay emphasize on that as far as him supposed to be getting matching funds for his campaign. So why is it that these black politicians are serving everybody else's agenda except ours? Comments, please.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let me just start like this. The city of Denver, Colorado, or the city of Colorado Perry, or Colorado Perry, it's pretty, from what everyone thinks and what it is, it's mostly dominantly white. And in the city of Denver, it's been ethnically cleansed, gentrified. Black people have been moved out to the outskirts of the city. The city has been basically sold to the highest bidder. Now, in the city, we of course always had a campy bed for like the last couple of years, and this was part of creating trying to stop it, prevent it. You know. I was unhoused. He was unhoused. I lived on the streets hard. You know what I mean? I got Gettys in the Denver Post for it. You know what I mean? That I was out there that hard. We even around the corner from Mr. Farr's first building, and now this one. I've been housed. A lot of this has to do with. It kind of seems petty, but it's not really petty. What I'm talking about. When. I say it's just a two-man team. It really just is a two-man team. Him and I, you know, this is his dream. He wanted to be the mayor, you know what I mean? I mean, we can roll this beautiful beef footage back to April when when he announced it. We were crying on the blog talk. Hey, we're going to eat. I guess we're going to be all right. We got crying on the show, right? Because we're excited. And finally, someone stood up to the plate. Now, being black, but hold on a second, Ramel. Hold on 1 second, okay? Sorry, baby, hold on 1 second. Being pro-black has always been kind of an issue because you got the bourgeois blacks here, the cooning blacks, or the entertain the whites blacks, you know what I mean, where black when it's convenient, those type of blacks. And you got Judge Perez, which, you know, inside, outside, you know, I like to say he's the blackest candidate, you know what I mean? You know, and it really goes even worse because y'all know that, you know, his mate, me, like the first one of them all, has the same message, is black first, and agrees thoroughly with whatever he says. And, you know, I've always felt like that when I felt like he was being tokenized with one of the homeless outreach groups that he was working with, Men Moves Back. You know, I felt like that they were tokenizing him and making him the black face of homelessness when you know, he knew, but he just didn't want to, you know, who wants to accept that shit, you know? And I've always been, like, very competitive, very assertive, very, we say no, and I don't mind taking power, and I play strategic games. You know, but I wanted him to win because this is something that when you see the bottom really work to get to the top, and not with pretty duck dancing, fake ass politics, and, you know, I just promise whatever. He's an independent. He's on a small little unity thing. You know, what is it called? He's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's like the junior chairman of the Unity Party, you know, and he helped other people be in their positions that they are in now. He did work for, you know, right initiatives and things like that. And the fact is that they looked at him in the very beginning in our community, right, which is the East Side of Five Points, which was predominantly at one point black. There's other races there too, but it was a thriving black little area. The only voice there that could be considered a voice was his own little show, is Mr. Farr. Now, Mr. Farr does public works too. Yes, he does. He puts on shows, and yes, he feeds people. Yes, he does certain events. He put on all the Kwanzaa. Yes, he does a lot of things. He galvanizes white people. There's a lot of things that are there that he does good for black people and bad for black people at the same time. I've called him several times on my program a fucking enemy of the state, an enemy to black people, a fucking mass confusion. You know, if you watch his show, one minute he's with something, then he's not. Then he is, then he's not. He plays emotional black mind games, in my mind. And that right there is off code. Now, when I say off code, meaning according to Amin Fuller Jr. and anybody following me, black media, he's just fucking, it's just bad. Look, man, black people got enough problems on their mind with a lot of things going on. We don't need any more fucking confusion from our own people. And he provides that kind of confusion. So I've said many times on my own program that once we win, he is not allowed any tangibles from the Paris administration. Don't even ask. Because he drug him for 6 months. He laughed at him. He clowned him. Sneaked this. And now everything's all good after whatever. I don't even know whatever is. But yesterday, they had another candidate on there the night before, like last Friday. We'll start with last Friday. This dude, right? He's campaign manager now, right? But he's on the LGBTQ plus, you know, thing. You know, he's black. He's black, LGBTQ, whatever. And he's kind of bougie, kind of hostility, real beta, you know, energy. I kind of say a little feminine. That's just my opinion. And he was making these statements when he was selling, pandering his wares, meaning himself, when he wasn't working for no one. He wasn't helping anyone be, you know, put in position. He's a consultant. Well, everybody had been saying that, you know, Team Paris hasn't generated the funds to qualify for the fair election. So there was a lot of clowning over there. But here, Team Paris on our side was, okay, people starving and freezing to death. What are you doing with all this money anyway? Why are we raising all of it? I mean, what the fuck? Like, there's people dying, literally. Right out, maybe 7 blocks away from this man's building. What are you thinking? This is fucking stupid. I don't think that we should. Plus, it's not fair. When you got people running for office, who've got their hands in the fucking election thing, you know, on the backside. Everybody's bought and paid for, so I don't think it's fair. Plus, the media only highlights Democrats and Republicans. They only want to talk about who they want to think is the front runner. They want to act like certain people are important, when none of these people really got any name recognition, but the media built them up, you know, fucking coming from high seat and to be the mayor. They're applying. Some people are already, they were on the ballot last in the midterms. We voted them in, and yet they here they are for running for mayor again. It's like, and some of them can fund their own program. They can fund their own campaign. Me and him literally didn't have any money, and every little bit of money, which was hardly anything, went out and barely came back in. We've struggled the whole fucking time, right? With whatever little donations that like little come here and there, man, they go right back out. We're lucky we eat. We're still on programs, you know what I mean? We're at the bottom, but we still manage to, be with the people on the ground, which is unhoused. Fucking right. I did the website. Man, I put in so much fucking work. I did flyers. I did everything. You know, I made sure these flyers go into black hands only. I made an inclusive one for them. I didn't want to, but I did. I made up on the back side of the webpage, all the way to the last page. I did an inclusivity page just for them. I didn't want to, but you kind of had to. Because, you know, there are other people other than black people in Denver. You know, I didn't want to. I did it. But my thing, I didn't mean to say, but what I meant to say is we got tired. We're so tired. Because the only community that we have who would have thought would have supported their brother, considering their place of business, is directly across the street from his godmother and godfather's barbershop. He's there. That's his area. This is his shit. He knows more about the city. I mean, you just run this beautiful beam footage back of today. I felt like I was with the white version of, or the black version of Phil Goldstein. I got a whole tour. You know what I mean? We're all over it. That's just him. We work so hard. So for some fucking, what I call an enemy to the city, okay? Meaning the enemy to black people, when you're not on board, you're not all the way black. The black people want you to support whoever. These fools on Friday were like, this dude can't, so he's not only black, but he's LGBTQ, whatever, right? A couple months ago, we asked about it. He said, he made this comment, I'm expensive, okay? That to me, I took that as, I said, fuck it, never mind. I took it as, you can't afford me. That's how I took it. I felt like, all right, well, fuck you, that shit. You lucky we even asked you. A. B. He said, because Jesse made several comments and stood on them, that he don't believe men should wear dresses to elevate, especially black men. They should never be in a motherfucking dress to elevate. He stood on that. Talked about butt breaking, stood on that. And then, you know, obviously, of course we're going to be talking about LGBTQ plus happy face, elbow, elbow, emoji, fucking sad bitch. They got like 57 motherfucking flags and 39 million motherfucking acronyms, and they're moving fucking over black people. Every time. They get more protections than black people do. They get money. They get, everybody decided they want to all of a sudden jump on and say, I'm trans or I'm this or I'm that. Right? And this man wanted to say, we're homophobic, or we're saying homophobic things. What's homophobic about saying that we don't agree that shoving an agenda for, well, that beautiful beat footage back several years now, down our throats, saying we're homophobic when we're like, you're heterophobic, and some things are offensive to women, natural women.
Right.
You know, what is wrong with that?
Right.
So homophobic. But then, keep this in mind, fellas, that this man is wearing a dashiki, and he's representing a white lady. The white lady obviously was on his agenda and gave him the bread to represent her, right? But you're wearing a dashiki, cuz, representing a white woman. And you're talking shit.
Yeah.
Pro-black shit. You know what I mean? Saying that, what is wrong with saying a black, I'll never be in a dress. I'm talking to two black men right now. Neither one of you would ever wear a dress to elevate. I don't even have to ask.
No, ma'am. I'm not that kind of a guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that type of guy. And then keep in mind, though, too. It's like, as we know with social media, okay, is that they're based out there in a certain location that does that agenda. And they are having an economical power. You know what I mean? And the funny part about it is of how they accumulated their economical and political power in about one-fourth of the time that we did during the Civil Rights Movement. You see what I mean? Okay. And then, of course, you know, they want to approach us in foul ways and make derogatory comments about us because we're not with that agenda. But at the same token, we don't see them getting suspended on social media. We don't
see
them.
That's reverse psychology, General.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what it is, Anchorman. That's exactly what it is. And then when we call them out on it, you know, then they want to limit, you know, our exposure on social media. Then they want to limit our exposure here on Blog Talk Radio. But however, though, but they want to step on us with that agenda, you see. And I just don't understand. You know, next thing you know, it'll probably be illegal. I would say in less than 25 years, the way it's going right now, they're going to make it illegal for even heterosexual people to exist. And the cold part about it is we recognize that they have their civil rights and their human rights. But the question is, do they recognize that about us? Now, not changing the subject, I just want to read something here on the homeless situation in Sacramento and Oakland, California. Okay, this is an article that's dated September 30th.
Hold on, Shabaka, before you lead into that, Ramel, would you like to say something on in regards to this report?
Hell yeah, please.
I mean, go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Ramel. No,
okay,
go ahead, Ramel.
This is what I want to say. I know this brother, Jeffrey Farad. And Farad is a name of high esteem, you know, coming out of the Nation of Islam. And, you know, as far as I know about the brother, Jeffrey Farad, he was supposed to be like a pioneer and all this. He did security for, what's her name, Aaliyah. He done a lot of good stuff, man. I used to respect the brother, but now I got to pick sides. And I'm definitely aligned with my brother, Jeffrey Paris. So, you know, I want to say is, brother, you know, he knows the supreme wisdom. He knows the science. You know what I mean? That the grafted man, what I mean, the caveman, is utilizing against us, which is telling lies, stealing, how to master the original man. And how he masters the original man, being the black man, is by destroying the black man mentally, physically, socially, politically, economically, however he can, culturally. You know what I mean? And that's what this caveman is doing. You know what I mean? And my thing is, you know, his brother Jeffrey Quad, he knows better than all this shit. He knows better than that LGBTQ shit, support shit, all that weak shit. You know, he got some weak shit. You know what I mean? And my question to him is, why do you oppose us? Why do you oppose the brother Jesse Paris? What has he done to you that is so wrong? If he has wronged you, we apologize. But meanwhile, back on the front line, I mean, while he's busy talking, we're busy marching. We're marching into the lion's den, you know what I mean, facing perils left and right, you know, getting kicked off of Facebook, you know, getting locked down, all this crazy shit, you know what I mean, putting our life in danger.
Right.
The shit that Paris says ain't some shit you just can say without getting some kind of negative feedback. You know what I mean? So he putting his life on the line, and he out there in the community without no bodyguard, without no bullshit, without, I mean, you know what I mean?
So he's
facing opposition. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Besides Lady Shay, who's, you know, the ultimate bodyguard, queen, mother civilization. Okay, so facing opposition left to right. So while we're busy on the front line campaigning, we ain't got time to talk about you. We're busy talking about what matters.
Right.
And what matters is the urgent matters going on in the front line of our community. On the east side of Denver, Park Hill, Montbello, north side, west side, and the south side. And what benefits us, it's what benefits all. And that's not focusing on you, Jeffrey Farad, because, you know, you don't benefit anybody. You benefit yourself.
Exactly.
And, you know, one thing that we teach, one thing that the Nation of Islam teaches, whether it be 5% or Muslim, whatever, you know what I'm saying, we teach God, godliness. You know what I'm saying? So what's godly about what you're doing, Jeffrey Farad? And if you have such a problem with a man opposing unnatural acts, then maybe you should change your name from Jeffrey Farad, which is a righteous name, to something else. And change your whole identity, brother, because you're falsifying and perpetrating something that you aren't. You know what I mean? You're saying you're righteous, you're Islamic, all this good shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm this, I'm that, boom, boom, boom. And then you support shit that's unnatural, that's against the very cause that you say you are or that you embody. So, you know, if it's all like that, man, change your name. Drop the Farad name. Because Farad, Master Farad Muhammad did not support that shit. Neither did Elijah Muhammad.
Right.
Word is fine. That's all I want to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. And yes, ma'am. Okay. What I'm going to do is read an article right here. This here is in regard to homelessness in Sacramento and Oakland, California. And this here is out of a publication out of Oakland called the People's Tribune here. And this is out of the issue for October, November 2022. Okay. Sacramento, California. On September 30th, a vacant city-owned lot in Sacramento was officially occupied by unhoused individuals. On October 1st, a group of resident organizers from the Wood Street encampment in Oakland, California, held a bicycle ride now, from Oakland to Sacramento. to raise funds for the Wood Street community, demanding end to the evictions of Wood Street residents and others, and call on state officials to support the civil and human rights of unhoused people with access to permanent housing, water, electricity, trash removal, and other basic resources that allow them to live with dignity, safety, and stability. And keep in mind, Oakland is about 80 miles from Sacramento, so that's quite a long bike ride. Okay, both Sacramento and Oakland have been under attacks for sweeps, lack of accountability, lack of resources and shelter, and lack of impacted voices at the table. For the last 3 years, both Oakland and Sacramento have been working together to fight for real solutions that include camp self-sustainability, housing now, and no more death on the street. Is because I do recall reading in the Oakland Tribune, or what they call the East Bay Times now, of people dying when they had severe winter storms there a couple of years ago. One of them was a two-year-old child. And keep in mind, Oakland, when it gets cold, it will get down to a low of about 32, 28, 29, but not the extreme of Denver, Colorado does. Now, the city of Sacramento spent $617,000 to fence and pave the lot, which was intended to be part of the city's comprehensive city plan. They moved approximately 150 unhoused residences in circles around the lot, and ultimately last April forced them off the lot to fence it off and lock people out, displacing people and creating perpetual sweeps and removals by code enforcement. The city spent millions of dollars forcing people back onto the street, perpetuating harm, violence, criminal charges, loss of shelter, and death. Throughout this past week and over the past month, the California Highway Patrol and the California Department of Transportation have been permanently evicting Wood Street and Cameron residents en masse at the request. Now, get this here, at the request of Governor Gruesom Newsom, or Gavin Newsom, destroying their tiny homes, vehicles, and community they have created together. There over the past decade, said formerly unhoused and Oakland-based advocate Delphine Brody, who biked with Wood Street residents, organizers, and advocates to Sacramento. Residents would love to share our experiences and shed light on the trauma caused by the violence of state and local government officials are visiting upon people living in poverty and on the streets of California. And this here is as per the Sacramento Homeless Union president, Crystal Sanchez. And they also got a situation down in Santa Cruz, California. Okay, everybody's familiar with Santa Cruz, California. Okay, you know, that there is like one of the big drama cars, just like there's Santa Cruz Boardwalk, I believe. So, you know, they got a lot of money down there. But the point is that when these politicians, you know, at the taxpayers' expenses, take these elaborate trips, and then just like Gavin Newsom, you know what I'm saying, he signed, you know, the mask mandate and stuff like this, you know, when the COVID first hit, what he does is that he goes up there to the Napa Valley, mind you, okay, or the wine country, as they call it, you know, where they've had massive fires and stuff like that. And he's violating his own ordinances that he's telling people to fulfill, you know, for power. You see what I mean? And then, you know, he survived a re-election campaign going up against a guy out of Los Angeles by the name of Larry Elder, who I think is one of the biggest hypocrites gone. That's because I'm reading his book, and it takes me a minute to digest the garbage that he espouses, and it's just that garbage, okay? And they pretty much label Mr. Elders as the black face of white supremacy, okay? So he tried to force a special election and a recall on Gavin Newsom, and Newsom survived the recall, okay? All right, okay, so... But the thing is that this guy like Fayard, if I'm saying his name correctly, okay? Thank you, Anchorman. I stand correct. So, Mr. Farage, you know, you're a joke. You're a hoax. I called him to your platform a couple of times. He blocked me because, you know, he didn't like the way I was telling him the truth. You see what I mean? As opposed to giving me the opportunity, you know, to speak on his platform or giving Jesse a bad time who addresses his issues. And Mr. Farad has been invited here on numerous times, and he just said, come on here and what have you. So that simply goes to show of that he is afraid of the truth. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
He's afraid of the truth. He's afraid of the truth. And the reason why he's afraid of the truth is because he's getting a lot of notoriety, okay? And then even he has made some derogatory comments about me, which I could really care less about. And as the anchor man is saying, who knows, maybe he needs to change his name and go wear him a dress and some fishnet stockings.
Jeff Flowers.
Put
him
on
Jeff Flowers. Jeff Flowers.
Yeah, Jeff Flowers.
Jeff Flowers. Yeah, yeah, not Jeffrey Farad, because he don't deserve that anymore. His name is Jeff Flowers.
Yes, sir. Okay, so Mr. Flowers, you know what he is called.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so therefore, so we.
Yeah, he's a sensationalist, you know, and it's about, like, you know, gossiping and sometimes it could be informative or the guest informative. Other times it's sensational and had a lot of sneak dissing and, like, look, man, in the beginning for the first 6 months, I'm like, you know, when he didn't acknowledge Jesse for a month after he had seen him and there's been a chat, a month after Jesse filed and continued to drag him, I mean, at some point, you know, I absolutely fucking hate watching this podcast, okay? I can't stand it. It's like the biggest fucking act of coonering. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really do it. Sometimes I gotta watch it because Jesse watches it because he wants to stay informed of what's going on with the, you know, because there's a lot of black events that he likes to participate in. Not that I don't like to participate in said events. I just don't want to fucking watch the show. I don't like to hear the fucking gossiping like, oh, little hoes and shit, school fucking pandering and, you know, who they think is and what they think
fuck him.
Dissing and shit like that. Sneak dissing is the lowest form of fucking talking shit. Why don't you just say directly what the fuck is really on your mind, right? So, and
right.
We go on his podcast, say another candidate, like, for example, when Terrence is there, right? Where they're talking shit because Terrence steals Team Paris's intellectual property. And he runs with it, okay? He acts like those are his talking points.
Terrence Roberts, let's call it what it is. Terrence Roberts.
Well, yeah, hold on one second. Everybody knows that Jesse was the first candidate to go on that show. And we had a little stack of shit to talk about what we were going to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When I say we, meaning him. You know what I mean? Like the plan, a little bit of a taste. It was a taste, okay? A taste. It wasn't nothing. It wasn't anything real big because you just want to give them a little taste because they've been shit-talking and dragging and galvanizing white people. Remember, I used to say that they were galvanizing white people to come and fucking, you know, motherfuckers, I don't like Jesse. And that seduction doll, that whoopty whoopty whip, and it became like a real issue to where I'm, you know, not only do I get ugly-ass hate mail, but I find that kind of comical, but right? And they'll run up on me and they'll talk about there's gonna be another black mayor, or they'll call me, you know, they'll call me all kinds of ugly names, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, right up on me when I'm driving. It's not necessarily, but it's fucking crazy. We got some feedback. Yeah, okay, it's better now. I don't know that, you know, I have been saying that. I said, look, when you galvanize the white people to get upset because you're saying all this provocative shit towards us, about us, and they happen to come up in our areas and stalk the crib or follow me around the block from patrolling my neighborhood, keeping the neighborhood safe from fucking inappropriate police activity, you know what I mean? Because that's what happens. You're putting my shit in danger when you're creeping around my alley, trying to listen underneath my motherfucking window, you're putting my life in danger. Actually, you're putting yourself in danger, really. You know what I mean? And it's like, why in the fuck, right? But all this hatred and animosity that was being exuded for the last 6-7 months was putting us in that kind of harm's way, which I've stated before was motherfucking, and we weren't having it. I'm out in the street, just doing, sometimes just in here just doing fucking Zoom after Zoom after Zoom after Zoom after Zoom. And then he's out in the world, and he's doing appointment after appointment after appointment. You know what I mean? He's listening to music. He's trying to get everything together. I'm doing the back work, all the fucking, the mental, like the typing and the fucking trying to edit, trying to learn shit. Keep in mind, fellas, I came from the street. I don't know anything. You know what I mean? We're working hard. So for this kind of bullshit to happen, we're not in the wrong, or at least this portion of Team Paris isn't in the wrong to be upset and feel like, look, I'm tired of watching you drag him. Not only am I tired of it, I'm tired of you sneak dissing and gossiping like old hoes, and I'm tired of motherfuckers coming on there to talk about their motherfucking campaign after they stole 1/3 of our shit, because they want to run with it, and they're gaining points off of it. And black people are like, look, if it's between so-and-so, a black person and a white lady, they're going to vote for the white lady. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with our family? Black people, really? You're going to vote for a white person regardless? If it doesn't matter if they're black or not, you're not even going to fucking think about it. You're just going to say, nah, it's between so-and-so, I'm going to vote for the white lady. Because out of the runoff, I'm going to vote for the white lady. I'm going to vote for that white man. You're black! What the fuck? Like, I'm not just saying because of your color. I work in principle. You know what I mean?
All about okay, that. See, what happened? See, what happened with that, if I may interject? Okay, is at the end of the Civil War, okay? It's because, let me see, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. The 13th Amendment, okay, wait a minute, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. Okay, so the 13th Amendment, man, had got rid of slavery or involuntary servitude. The 14th Amendment made the slave a citizen, and the 15th Amendment gave him the right to vote. But as I stated before, you know, over the years, and I stated this here on other podcasts and other shows as well, too, when did we petition the U.S. government on a collective basis to be citizens here? Quite naturally, of course, that event never happened, you know, based off the years of research that I've done on it, okay? So quite naturally, of course, you know, it was a political gang. And just like how they, you know, come to us, you know, every election year with this stuff right here, you know, all across the country, you know, they want to go out there and get the black vote. And we are the least ones, you know, that they cater to, or what I mean by cater to, we are the least ones who receive the benefits of going out here voting, you know, for these Democratic and Republican candidates. And then when someone, you know, brings up attention to it from the black community, then, of course, the media, mainstream media, you know, tries its best to ostracize us. Then they handpick somebody, you know, to come out there to mislead us down the river, like Andrew Young, Barack Obama, Tom Bradley, Mayor Hancock, or Hank Coon, Colorado, Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, fool they got there, Eric Adams of New York City. You see what I mean? And it's kind of like that the black agenda has been totally abandoned, you see? And then they talk about, oh, well, we made great progress because Kamala became the vice president. And even when she was the U.S. Senator, the Attorney General for the state of California, she didn't do shit for black people. Okay, I mean, let's be real. Now, this man, okay, so this man, you know, Jesse Paris, is pretty much a pioneer of what he is doing because, you know, he had stated, you know, his agenda is black first, okay? Even if he doesn't make it, which I hope he does, okay, even if he doesn't, at least he has raised the conscious level. It's because the first time he ran for office, he got 15,000 votes, okay? So already that goes to show, you know. that his message was being heard. And they don't like his message, okay, it's because he is speaking against the popular version of what is truth. You see what I mean?
Right.
And then, of course, with all these police killings, you know, all the way from Denver, Colorado, with Paul Childs in the early part of the 21st century. Of course, we know about Mike Brown. Then, of course, we know about Mario Woods. And then, of course, Ezell Ford, Breonna Taylor. I mean, Mr. Castillo. The list goes on and on and on. And I do not see any black politicians at the local level, at the state level, or at the federal level addressing it. I mean, here you get, you know, Hershey bars out of, yeah, you get Hershey bars out of Georgia. You get warlocks out of the same state, and then of course, Uncle Tom Scott, I believe is his name, out of South Carolina, who sat up here and made this asinine statement that America is not a racist country. America is not a racist country. When the country was built on racism, okay? When it was built on racism, and then look what they did to the indigenous people here. Your first form of biochemical warfare is, giving indigenous people here the America's blanket with smallpox.
Guns, germs, and steel. That's what they use.
Yes, sir. You see what I'm saying? And then
there's a book called Guns, Germs, and Steel that talks exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. And then, of course, you know, when we come up here talking about doing something for us, is because even Dr. King said prior to when he was assassinated that he led us into a burning house with disintegration. Yes, and then, of course, you had the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, you know, and then, of course, a lot of people had lost their lives on that. And to those who lost their lives and the families who are their survivors to this day, how would they feel of the narrative changing from what they went through and took all those ass whoopings for? To go to this narrative today, I think it's a disrespect to their memory in the utmost. It's because, you know, when even we say here, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, you know, which is a division of Frontline Black News, okay, you got your human rights, you got your civil rights, but why is it when we talk about something for ourselves, for us to become self-sufficient like other groups have, we are called racist? Okay. Answer, okay, with me being an old bastard, you know what I'm saying, over the age of 60, from what I've seen, okay, what it is called hypocrisy, it's called deceit, and basically, I think, you know, the anchorman says it's best, the banana in the tailpipe, you see what I mean? And Jesse Paris, you know, is man enough to come out with the agenda, you know, tangibles, you know, dealing with black first. And for some odd reason, this here offends other groups when in actuality, it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. See? It really shouldn't. You know, it really should. I mean, you know, is that when you look at some of the big city mayors, you know, predominantly black communities, or you see, I'm talking about like Chicago, Detroit, what have you. See? You know, they all wrong is because they're not going out being all inclusive. But at the same token, though, when we try to do self-sufficiency programs to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, then we get opposition from that. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you're trying to work with the system, a system that's designed against you. You see what I'm saying? Made great sacrifice for it. And then not to mention, you know, of all our people who went and laid their lives down in all of America's wars, you know, from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, Korea, the Vietnam conflict, Afghanistan, Iraq, and it goes on and on and on. But once again, when we come back, you know, we're ostracized. You see what I'm saying? We're looked down upon. You see, things of that nature right there. Yeah, and then also, too, now let's look at the former World Heavyweight Boxing Champion, Joe Louis, who went and served in World War II. Then he had made revenue from his fights, and I believe Mr. Louis had donated $20 million, or was it $2 million? Okay, well, anyway, he donated a significant sum to the United States Navy. And what did they do with this man? They hit him with tax evasion. Mm-hmm. Tax evasion. You mm-hmm. see, so this here just goes to show the hypocrisy of it. And then when you got, what's his new name, man? Jeff Ferry or Jeff what now? What's his new name?
Flowers.
Anchorman.
Jeff Flowers. Flowers.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, Jeff Flowers. Okay, so therefore, what he's doing is he is disrespecting their memories too. But see, this is why, ladies and gentlemen, we have created the hashtag Resurrection of the Mental Dead. You see, is because that's nothing more than mental death. You see what I'm saying? And the same thing with these jackleg preachers. You see, and check our past episode of Poverty. Okay, what was that there? What was that we had? Okay, it was Poverty, Pulpit Pimps, and Jackleg Preachers. You see what I mean? And even one of these guys, I think it was Creflo Dollar, who's going to tell the time. No, I'm sorry, it was Creflo Dollar, although he did some shady shit himself. But it was one pastor in Detroit where he had asked the people to tithe $3,000 is because he didn't want us to buy a jet plane or something asinine. And then he said, well, if they can't tithe, there's $3,000, you know, tithe $1,000. Okay, man, you know, a lot of our people, man, you know, are living below the poverty line, and you wearing all these fancy suits and nice cuts and nice flossome shoes and what have you, and got all this great jewelry and all that, man. Why don't you dig down in your pocket? You know what I'm saying? And I don't care who it is. It's rather if it's Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, you know what I mean? And things of that nature right there. You got these extravagant automobiles, man, you know what I mean? And it is what it is. She said, this is why we created the hashtag and the group up on social media called Resurrection of the Mental Dead. You see what I mean? Yeah, you see, so it's very, very imperative that we got to have our solidarity economically, educationally, politically, and commercially. And this is why, you know, we got to emphasize the homeschooling for our youth to get them up out of these public indoctrination centers, rather if it's Denver, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Oakland, Seattle. You see what I'm saying? Kansas City, New Orleans, Louisiana, Atlanta, Georgia. You see? And then, of course, the great state of Florida. And then also, too, I'm going to crumb on the current governor of Florida by the name of DeSantis. Okay, DeSantis, you have in your state that if we were to have a conversation that we're having right now here at Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, that it makes certain individuals feel comfortable about their brutalization to another group of people, then what I advocate that we boycott his state. And any black businesses that do business with his state, you know, quit doing business with them. Quit paying your taxes there if you can. When we understand the fact everybody's got to make a living, you know, hit them where it hurts, in the pocketbook. Look at the Montgomery bus. Yeah, look at the Montgomery bus boycott. Everybody laughed at it, but with black solidarity, they literally broke the Montgomery bus company. It took them a year to do it, but that they just wouldn't show, you know, the significance of what cooperative economics can do. This is what we need more knowledge of. Also, too, for all you bums over there in Silicon Valley, the Zuckerbergs, Elon Musk, people running Google and what's the other place they got over there, man? Yahoo and whatnot. And, you know, you guys always want to limit our posts because you don't like our message. But at the same token, when you limit our posts, you want to send us with a bunch of spam and garbage and advertisement. And then, well, even with Google, when you put down here, give us some feedback on this ad. You put down there, I don't like this ad. I don't want this ad. And it seems to me that after about the 1,000 click of that you don't want this garbage, shouldn't they get the message that, you know, I don't want to be bothered with this? And the reason being is because you pay for the service each month on your cell phone or your internet service, okay? Plus that it kills up all your phone's data and whatnot. And then, of course, this garbage is laced with viruses and things of that nature and stuff that you're not interested in, you see? And the same thing with this garbage out of Los Angeles, California. Check out our new previews and this, that. Man, I don't want to check out your previews. You wasting my time. Check out the video I did last spring when I went down there, just like I said I would do, to the corner of Hollywood and Highland, or Hollywood Boulevard, Highland Avenue, where the Kodak Theater is. And I told them what they were. You know, you guys disrespect us. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to feminize our men. Why? You know, what kind of image that is. But however, Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, as Brother Paris has always points out, with the ISIS papers, where she wrote this here in early 1970s, and it's coming into fruition today, has come into fruition. So, you know, they don't never want to show the black, they don't never want to show the black male being a strong figure in his household, raising his children, protecting his family. And then just to go to show how really twisted we are on social media, I'm not going to name no names on social media, but I will say this. There was a post that I made about all of the NFL players don't suit up for the playoffs, including Super Bowl, okay? It's because there is big business, you know, for those ad spots that they have right there, right? Okay, so if all the black players didn't show up, quite naturally, of course, this is going to kill the quality of the game, all right, is because Ebony Magazine did an article 50 years ago, is the black athlete naturally superior? But with the talent level that the black athlete has, he can form his own league. He would have to grassroots it, rather than basketball, football, or baseball, okay? Is because you heard
be done,
when the players
were.
Oh, yes, sir, most definitely. So therefore, so what it is that an individual comes up to me on social media saying, well, you know, if they walk away from their jobs, they're not protecting and providing for their communities. And to find out this individual, well, I'm not going to say his name, okay, who I was going back and forth with on this thread, you know, owns four liquor stores, an investment company, an online internet business. So that dude is not working for nobody. He's working for himself. So he's emphasizing our people go working for somebody else, but he's sitting up here doing something for himself. Now, I'm not mad at him for that, but we need to emphasize that more so on ourselves, you see, because don't nobody spend money like we do. You see, when money or a high amount of revenue comes into the black community, man, it leaves less than 24 hours. In other groups' communities, they circulate that money and it builds up their community. You know, it may stay within their community, man, 10, 15, up to 30 days. And then they're very, very scrupulous about how much they let out of their community. You see, then all these hair shops and nail salons, it's all in a black community. They're not black owned. See? So therefore they're like a sponge, you know, taking it out of the community. This is why we got to get our young people up out of these public indoctrination centers, because this is where they learn. Yeah, all these social ills of killing one another, of disrespecting one another. You feel what I'm saying? And the same thing what Hollywood does as well to Universal Music Group, gives Lil Wayne $100 million, you know, the rapper Lil Wayne, $100 million. But you could best believe that they're going to make $100 billion off of it.
And then
when we suggest that they connect the dots on us in our community, then all of a sudden we're getting censored. Then all of a sudden this is hate speech. All of a sudden, you know, here comes the hate mail and what have you. But you see, we're just speaking mainly of the universal laws, principles of the laws of finance and economics. And I find it very, very incredible that this individual who is a business owner who owns 4 liquor stores now, which is a contaminant in the black community. You see what I mean? and he's going to say, you know, about going to get a job as opposed to opening up a business. So therefore, you got to look at the side effects of this Eurocentric mindset when it comes to economics. And that's not hate. That's not racism.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what it is. But they don't want us to be, you know, about that. They want us to hate ourselves. They want us to countermand ourselves, just like what Dr. Francis Quest Wilson said that they would do. You see? And her publication, The ISIS Papers. You see? And there's Hollywood and social media doing it there for you. Let's see, and then when we go up here and make our posts, and then we try to use their like page to get our message out, you know, the results come back very, very low. They're systemically doing this here to us. Even if you go up there to pay for it, you're still going to get low results. And there's various like pages that I know that I'm not going to say the name of that is doing this. You see? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It makes sense because we know what they're doing. You see what I'm saying? It makes sense because they know what they're doing, but they think that we're too dumb to recognize the difference of somebody pissing on our head and telling us it's right.
Dang.
Yeah, see, that's when they come with this stuff right here, they piss it. Yes, sir.
No, I'm just in agreement. I'm listening, General.
Yes, sir. Okay, so what it is that this is why we got to change. This is why we got to change the mind. Yeah, go ahead.
Ramel, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I do want to chime in, but I'm waiting for my brother to hit me with the bridge. Get to the bridge, brother, whenever you get done.
Yes, there's just 2 more sentences I got to say. One is to be self-sufficient, and one is to have group economics, because that's the only way that we're going to save ourselves. And like I said, this brother does, you know, who's running for mayor of Denver by the name of Jesse Parris. I don't see nobody out there with him in that cold helping senior citizens. I don't see nobody out there with him even on a bright, sunny day. And he does it every Sunday. You see what I mean? And so where are your other Denver mayoral candidates when Mr. Parris is out here doing this? You see what I mean? I'm gonna tell you what y'all are doing. Y'all are out there flossing. Y'all out there faking. You see what I mean? You know, man, y'all are crumb bumming on this man because, you know, he's the one who made the statement of black first. You see? It's unprecedented. And this is why I wish the brother well, and this is why, you know, I've opened up this platform here, ask about the black experience, and that's where he can come on here anytime since he's the co-producer, you know, to get his message out. And Jeff Flowers, as the anchorman so properly had renamed him, you know, he's turned down every invitation, and we know why. Okay, just like with this Negro by the name of Pianti who used to come on here, okay? Because we crumb bomb them. We hit them with facts that they cannot stand. You see what I'm saying? When it comes to a pro-black agenda, this is why it's called Frontline Black News. You see? And that is not hatred. You see? That is not hatred. And then look at all what we've been through. You see what I mean? And then, of course, you have those of our people who places, how should I say, emphasis on the rape and slave trade and pedophile as opposed to those, you know, who are down in the cargo hold of the slave ships who are brought here against their will to the Americas. Rather, if it's the Dominican Republic, rather, if it's Puerto Rico, rather, if it's Cuba, rather, if it's Veracruz, Mexico, rather, if it's Haiti, okay, or rather, if it's Florida, Louisiana, Texas, South Carolina, Virginia. Yeah, go ahead, Anchorman.
Okay. First of all, I want to give a formal salute to the first lady of the frontline campaign, Ms. Queen Brandy, aka Lady Shay, and her husband, General Jesse Paris. And also, I want to give a salute to General Shabaka from frontline campaign, official Black Panther Party faction. I want to say that, vote for Jesse Paris for Mayor of Denver 2023. You know, he's preaching hate toward injustice. You know,
right.
And he's teaching conservatism and self-preservatism. You know, because the first law
yes,
is what self-preservation. Self-preservation. You got to preserve
yes,
yourself, preserve your people, preserve your culture. And if that's wrong, then obviously, you don't know fact from fiction, you know what I mean? Because there's
yeah,
nothing
exactly.
wrong with preserving your livelihood, preserving your culture, preserving your legacy, the legacy of your people on the planet Earth. And whether you want to believe it or not, we're locked into a psychological, biological, chemical war. And you got to pick a side.
Oh, absolutely.
Either you're going to be down with God or down with the devil. Either you're going to be a soldier of revolution or you're going to be a pawn and a spawn to white agenda, period. There's no way around it.
Yes, sir. That's
you know what I'm saying?
And
the thing that this devil is doing and this white agenda is doing, they're using guns, germs, and steel. They're using technology, you know, and technology. You know, I mean, they're using reverse psychology, haterism, traitorism, trickery, and treachery. They're using all the angles to leave us in shambles, economically, politically, socially, culturally, in all forms. You know what I mean? On the forefront of the family and all that. So, you know, the best choice is that we ain't got no choice. We got to vote for Jesse Paris if we want to see the advancement of our people, in our community, and that's it. You know, because I watched Biden spend $76 trillion on a war that ain't even part of American soil. And instead of sourcing that money and taking care of what needs to be done here in the United States of America, you know, which is taking care of our homeless population, rectifying the justice system, you know, helping people get on their feet so that way we don't have a criminal element the way we do now. And so that way we're not, basically excluding people from a common, you know, just being able to live and survive. Man, fuck living and survive, man. Our people need to be thriving and enterprising, man. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't down with that, then obviously you down for the wider agenda, man, period. And that's what we are, man. We about black enterprise, recycling black dollars. We about elevating our consciousness, you know what I'm saying, socially, politically, economically, on all forms, on all planes, you know, so don't hate the player, hate the game, you know what I'm saying, and the name of the game that we playing is advancement, man, growth and development, collective worker responsibility, collective economics, you know, we trying to be a cohesive force, and Jeff Favre, I knew you in the community, brother, and Jeffrey fought for Rod, man. Man, that's very disgraceful what you're doing, brother. You know, I thought you was better than that. And I seen you do some good work, brother. I'll be honest with you. I have seen you do some good work, so I'll give you credit for that. But the shit that you're doing now is ass backwards. I tell you that from real motherfucker to the next. And Jeffrey, you doing some bullshit, man. And you need to clean up your act, brother.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If anything, instead of opposing Jesse, you need to help. You need to help Jesse because Jesse's you 30 years ago when you was righteous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what you need to be on, brothers. You need to help that brother, man. You know what I'm saying? And get off the bullshit, man. Get off the bullshit, Jeffrey. Because, you know, God don't like ugly, man. You know what I'm saying? And
that's right.
You know, 360 is real. Karma's real. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, you know, guns, guns are still, we see that in the community. Guns, they killing and murdering us left and right. You know, the germs, you know, all that COVID bullshit, all the disease, you know what I mean? Whether it be laboratory made, you know, back in the days they hit us with the measles, the smallpox, all them diseases came from there, man. Any kind of disease.
Yeah.
And the natives didn't know disease. The natives didn't know disease till the grafted European man came over here, period, and knocked them down, knocked them off. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The best thing the black man did, because the black people are so caring and loving, man, was teach the Europeans during the Dark Ages how to wash their body, man, because they had went savage.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for us, collectively as black people, them people would have been eradicated, eliminated, and they'd be no longer on this planet Earth right now. So, you know, white people in general, if you're listening, this ain't a hate speech. This is hate towards injustice, you know. And our platform is to build on and build towards freedom, justice, and equality. We ain't on the bullshit. We're on the real shit, you know. And you know, and that's what we're on. That's it. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, and most indeed. You know, and of course, and. You know, and a man like Jesse Parrish should be commemorated. Yeah, scratch that last statement, not condemned, because he's already being condemned, but the man should be commemorated. So let me correct myself on that right there, because like I said, the work that he's doing, the effort that he's putting in, you know, the man is so exhausted, you know, he couldn't even make the show tonight. You see, so he has Lady K filling in for him, you know, and although Lady K is one of our contributors as well, too. It says, so the man is putting in your 1,000% effort, but you all want to keep crumb bumming him there.
Hold on a second.
Say again?
I feel like who better to speak on the man than the damn campaign manager? Because they're like 9 jobs. So better to speak on the man that I know best. But also, too, you know, I know the man's interest and his core values. Like, you know, right now I'm helping him with a little project you guys going on, and you know, one of the things is like core value. His core value is realistically black first. You know, he will always be black first. He'll always put black men, women, children, young, old, disabled, not disabled, able-bodied, employed, unemployed, fucking house, fun house, with benefits, no benefits. You'll always put black people first before anyone else. Black people are, you know, as I suggest, black people are in a state of fucking emergency. We need actual fucking things. And it's a reality. It's a reality. Any other politician that wants to put their race in their people's races, or whatever, ahead of that, their sexual fucking identity, their moral fucking proclivities, any of that shit, at the end of the day, he is merely motherfucking black first that will put black men, women, and children ahead of anybody else, because that's the fucking importance of it all. I mean, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
Right now there's a little missing. A woman, like an elderly woman, a black elderly woman, missing in the city. Nobody knows where she is. It's as if, have you seen my mom? Are you serious? But yet, the indigenous people got a fucking Amber Alert. We couldn't have one? How many black men and women and small children, little girls and boys, go missing every fucking couple of years? A little girl just was found, a little girl, and I say a little girl, she's a teenage girl, found, you know, dead behind a dumpster blocks away from her own house. And nobody knew, but the family had an idea, and they went on their own investigation. What kind of bullshit is that? Teenage girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's found in the worst place, man. the worst place. We always talk about it real quick in the news, like she didn't matter. Come on now, she's a little girl. In my eyes, that's a little girl. You know, she's going to high school, whatever. 43-year-old, give me a break. But still, you know what I mean? Where's the fucking justice? You know what I mean? Where's the justice? You got it's so ugly, man, you know? And so for a man to be so pro-black and to feel like, look, don't believe, somebody text Ramel and let him know you call back. I think his call dropped. I didn't drop it. I'm not even touching it. Basically, you know.
Whose call is this?
This is, text Ramel and let him know his call dropped.
Okay.
Call back.
Okay, yeah.
Let me finish this real quick. So for somebody to be pro-black and to be on a black agenda that is actually doing the work for black people, you would think that black people wouldn't be so goddamn opposed and just want to get on board over here, at least be supportive, can get a kind word. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. one thing that everybody supports 25 other motherfuckers that might be, five, six are actually black. Most of them got issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some will put their sexuality ahead. Some got finance issues. Other motherfuckers are just, are inclusive. And what's wrong with saying that we're not inclusive? We're not for everybody.
Right.
You know, first and foremost, we're for black people. In the city of Denver, in general, black fucking people. Why do we have to? Why?
Yeah.
When no other race includes blacks. Period.
Yeah.
So why do we got to include everybody
in their
right
agenda.
Off? Yeah. Why do we got to include everything right off the bat? Oh well, we can't fuck with Jesse because Jesse's not inclusive. No, Jesse's gonna be the mayor of everybody in the fucking city. But the priority is black people. Why not? Right? Why not try something different? Put yourself as a black person first. Think about Jordan.
Well, see, but what that is, okay, but you see, but what you're exposing right there, Lady Chay, is what they call hypocrisy to the utmost. You see, it's all called hypocrisy. You see what I'm saying? And I never forget when I went to Denver, Colorado, when Barack Obama talked about change that we could believe in, okay? And then once again, you know, when the police killings had started, you know, in mass, you know, where they started getting flagrant and blatant, and he's the president of the United States, and he could have signed executive orders, you know, to deal with that, you see? And then, but what do? You know, they're getting, you know, these black politicians at the local level that sit up there and endorse this bullshit, you see what I mean? And, you know, and Brother Che is not with that, you see what I mean? And like I said, and the man's dedication is out there. And then just like as the anchor man had stated, you know, hey, Mr. Flowers, you know, that's his new name right now, that, hey, you know, he's kind of manning, you know, the community, you know what I mean? He really is, you see? And that's unacceptable. And that there is unacceptable. You know? Okay.
So you see how he plays the game, like it's like 1 minute here, 1 minute there. It's all over the place. Can you imagine that there's black people watch this and 1 minute they're like, oh, I'll go with so and so because he said so, and then another minute they're like, fuck him. That's you? That's your house.
Why is it so important for Kai? It is important for Kai to be familiar with us. But that's so that Kai can come live here.
That's not on us.
Yeah, okay, I'm still here.
I don't have Ramel's number.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't have Ramel's number.
Mm. Okay, it was the 719 number.
Let me see. All right, let me see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I hope he didn't change it.
Okay, so yeah, it's the 719 number.
I text him back. I sent a message. I don't know if I got the current number or not, because he was kind of locked down for me. Yeah, so the other thing that bothers me, too, is that, like, I made a little PSA today and was like, look, I want, shit, what happened? Did I lose everybody? Yeah, all right. Everybody will call back in, hopefully. Let's pray, okay? Both Ramel and Shabaka dropped off real quick, and I, just for the record, that don't get blamed, I didn't touch shit. My hands just currently folded in my lap. I am at the Flash House, though, so anything is possible. Let me see, what was I going to say? I basically made a PSA. I haven't reached out yet. Reached in is what it is. I reached out, but I basically was like, you know, I gave a courtesy message. I was like, I want to show up and sit in the audience like everybody else. He said, no, this is for Friday. First, he said everybody can come in and sit in the audience. Then on Monday, he says, I can't, because I gave him a courtesy call. Courtesy text. He said, no, the candidate with Wham. And I'm like, because this is like that big of a deal. You know, I really do know how to sit still, behave myself. I've been in the place many times where I sat and behaved myself. You know what I mean? Hold on 1 second. Let me let in Shabaka. Okay.
That technical. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, sorry about that. I accidentally pushed the wrong button.
Yeah, what I was saying to the people was that I made a PSA today and was like, look, I demand or I want just as much time as that other person did, because on Friday or whatever, Mr. Farr said that, you know, perhaps the representatives of each candidate could come in and represent their candidate. Well, fuck, man, sign me up.
Right.
Well, I won't represent, obviously could represent Jesse on my own. I do it all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I know the agenda. I fucking wrote the shit up. Obviously, I know what's going on. I'm involved. You know what I mean? I
right.
can represent.
Yeah, that you are.
You know what I mean? I'm writing letters.
Yeah.
I'm fucking mayoral proposal that he wants done. You know what I mean? I'm doing it. It takes
right.
two people to have one person, I guess. You know, so I was like, shit.
Yeah, so basically.
And
okay, so
like,
basically you're like a campaign manager.
Campaign manager, just, you know, like on the free, I guess, because, you know, I'm his mate, you know, whatever. But to be honest, Shabaka, nobody can really stand with us. Man, they say, yeah. Wanna help, and then they flake off. Well, I'm not a flake.
Yeah.
I have to put in the work, and I'll sit there and pick up everybody's slack that we're supposed to help. Like, look, we got 3 fucking petitions out and no fucking petitions back. And me and Jesse are out today walking around, and he managed to get his petitions, you know, some signatures and whatnot, and we chopped it up with the people. We were out in the world. But you see what I'm saying? No one, everybody says they want to, yes, but they don't, and they're flakes about it, and I can't stand that shit. So when I say, like, look, man, we don't need nobody, it's because time after time, I've seen disappointment when it comes to people wanting to help. Oh, yeah, it's great, you know, that you want to help here in Denver, but you're not helping when you don't do what you said you're going to do, right? At least I can rely on myself as competitive, motherfucking driven. I work hard. I'm cranky all the time. It's a stressful thing for somebody who comes from the street who doesn't know anything. You know what I mean? I have to learn on the job. And I learned. And so, yeah, hell yeah, I can fucking represent him. I do it all the time when I go by myself to certain events. You know what I mean? They'll let the shade deflect the message. I really don't know how to talk to white people. So it's kind of on purpose. You know, they don't even look at me when they pass me, or they don't answer me when I talk to them. And they give me ugly looks, and they act like they move to the side or whatever. Like, anybody else is black, okay? So don't let the shade deflect the message. I don't get no passes. They don't like me. I don't even know how to talk to them. You better at it someday.
Yeah.
I got the creeps from him. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, oh my God. I won't pretty duck dance. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm a raw individual. You can't get me to be like what the normal first lady's going to be like. I'm not them. I'm a different breed.
Right.
But I'm like, look.
Right.
All I can do is I can represent perfectly. I know how to talk. Look, I've been doing this almost the whole show. I barely said cuz, and I haven't said the N word yet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can kind of, you know what I mean? And I feel like I can, I'll kidding aside, and this is a serious thing. I know I've been listening to the street, to the people. We dialogue, meet him, chop it up when he's not in the midst of doing fucking a million other things. And I sit down, I take notes, I sit up, and I get it cracking. I make flyers, and I get started. I got a fucking, we got the, like, everybody's been showing off, Shabaka, right? They got signs, they got pictures, buttons. You know, this is, I'm a girl, but this, and I look at my dude, and I'm watching him, and it, I probably would flip myself around. I bet if he was looking at me, and he would see how I felt like everybody shine, and here I am looking at him, you know, like, you know, he'd probably feel bad for me. He probably wanted to give me the world, too. So I kind of want to give that to him. Because I don't like to see him.
Right.
Because Robert got T-shirts that, look, man, he done got him a whole office. I was like, so what? Look how he got it, though. You know what I mean? I was like, it's going to be all right. I keep saying, it's going to be all right. I'm scared, too. I've been scared since day one. When I was, like, crying, what are we going to do? Every dollar we got is going to go directly to the campaign. What are we going to do? And real shit. Cheers. And he said, it's going to be all right. And it's been all right. We've been avidly, like, at some point, I just got mad and said, fuck it. You don't want to support us? Good. Don't. We'll be all right. We don't need to. We factored in that these people did not want to vote for us from jump. They didn't support us. They didn't give a fuck about what the fuck we were talking about. They only wanted to listen to their candidates that they liked. And fuck us, right, in our own community. So we said, all right, well, fuck you too. We're going to do whatever we're going to do. Don't worry about Team Paris. Team Paris was old-fashioned. We're not doing anything like this people do now. We move like how it used to be, old-fashioned, quietly, discreetly. We're maneuvering through the street. We're not really telling anybody what the fuck we're doing because people steal our shit. And it's ridiculous, and they're getting away with it, and they're getting funding by, and we're sitting here with the, like, for example, a donation from you, it might be like this amount, and that has to go to this, right? It'll be really, like a little $50 donation from another friend or one, like, right here. It'll be like weeks and months in between, you know what I mean? And it'd be so small, and it has to go so far, and everything is just right on top of each other. So naturally, he's watching his motherfucking, his nemesis, not only act stupid and steal his fucking work, right? Or our work, when I say our work, is we're like one unit. And then showboat. And then get him, he got him, that dude got him kind of like barred from his own event that he could participate in, that he got to sit in the audience in. Now we're like, oh, fuck that. Like, no, fuck that, Jesse. We're taking it. Power's taken. We're not going to ask them no more. They don't want us in there. We're going anyway. They don't want you to debate. We're going to do it anyway. You know, they don't want you to show up. Fuck it. We're going. They don't want us to do anything. They don't want to hear us. Fuck it. They're going to have to. You know what I mean? And little by little, me and Jesse have been burning up the streets with Black First Flyers that only go in black hands. I created one the other day for them. And I haven't passed one out. I haven't yet to give one of these beautiful, inclusive inclusive flyers to say, even you too will get a black mayor. I had to keep it black first. You feel me?
Right.
I refuse to give. I don't want to. I know I have to. But I don't want to because I really feel like, man, everybody's been ass-kissing for these white votes and these development money and these white people, they're just duck-dancing. They'll just say whatever. still accept whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Paris and anybody on the fucking black agenda is supposed to reject white supremacy on all levels. It doesn't matter if it's in our skin tones. White supremacy comes in all shades. You know what I mean? And so cool, not allowed. Tired of that shit. Man, motherfucker, what, this dude wearing a dashiki said, I represent her. And he's got big old motherfucking sign all over the fucking desk and shit. Me and Jesse, I'm looking at him like, you're a fucking fool. You are such a clown, cuz.
Yeah.
And I like, you know why? You know why it's a clownish shit to do? Because you made an insinuation that you were expensive. I took it as we couldn't afford it, which that's how it was seen to be. I read between the lines, and I watch body language, and I don't even know what the fuck is going on. You can't sneak this around me. You know what I mean? I'm so apart. Don't tell me nothing. I already see you. But I took that like that. But you're going to go be in a dashiki talking about your black ass and this and this and that, but you're going to represent a white lady who has an indigenous husband who says, that's her first statement, my husband was indigenous. So you're trying to gain a fucking point because that's the narrative nowadays in the fucking, you know, in the nation. What?
Yeah.
That's off top. You got this white lady going to Kwanzaa events. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
While you're popping this broad like a whole hoe. You know what I mean? And you're a campaign manager.
Yeah.
I may be rough.
Mm-hmm.
I may be my mind. I don't give no fucks about it. I'm not going to apologize. Why? 2023 is supposed to be unapologetic. It's supposed to be the black year. And I refuse to apologize because I'm like, look, dude, you're the buck. You refuse to entertain a conversation with your brother who is black as you, with him, right? Because he made a comment about, or we make statements about LGBTQ plus whatever. So fucking what? If you didn't have 50 motherfucking flags and 30 million motherfucking acronyms for some weird shit and be pushing a movement over black people when you're black regardless, you tokenize black people, you know, they're not really with them. The white LGBTQ does not stand with the black LGBTQ. And the black LGBTQ does not even stand with each other. So I don't even want to hear shit. It's a hypocrisy in itself. But you're going to go buck dance for a motherfucking older white lady who served under another mayor who allegedly gets paid more than everybody? She could fund her own goddamn race? Pay you.
Yeah.
And with her agenda. She's with your agenda. She's doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
You got a black lady singing the fucking black national anthem during Kwanzaa, all three verses typed up. Fucking miss me with that shit. And they're mad at me because I was at the Kwanzaa with my own drum. They don't want to say it, but you know they were thinking that because I had my own drum with me. I like the drum circle that Brother Eric does once in a while. He hasn't done it in a long time, but I got my own drum just because when we went to the Black Arts Festival, they were acting shady and didn't want to sell me an African drum. So I would have bought me one.
Mm-hmm.
I do what I want. Do you just tell me just because my complexion doesn't agree with you? Eat a dick. You know what I mean? I know where I stand. I don't need to keep justifying it. But you want to act stupid with me because, you know, I can't believe, you know, whatever. And I see the looks, man. I forget that I'm this motherfucking fair skin. I'm in the event. I'm in the moment. I'm doing I'm celebrating Kwanzaa. This is my second year. You know what I mean? And I missed out on so many moments because I was sick. But did it stop me from lighting candles? Did it stop us from doing our shit? No. Did it stop me from fucking trying? So I spent two days with Sister B. You know what I mean? It's a fucking thing. We went to one of his events. What, you know, God forbid he has a fucking a girlfriend / Beyonce, whatever the fuck I am. God forbid that he has somebody that's been sick for a long goddamn time and can make certain things.
Right.
I'm hard, man. Shit, I deserve to be able to say to anybody who's standing up talking all this shit about him to sit it the fuck down. They need to humble themselves. He works hard.
Yeah.
and they act like they don't know who he is. That's the man of the city. Not only is he the man of the city, he knows the city like the back of his hand, right? Buses, streets, fucking everything. And the damn weatherman. He can draw maps and everything. Well, you don't even give him enough credit.
Yeah.
He knows anything about him because they don't want to ask. They just want to assume.
Yeah.
And because, you know, he likes, because he agrees with fucking black nationalists, black nationalism and black empowerment, black joy, black happiness, black excellence, black everything, biggity, biggity, black. God forbid, he's wrong. He's not. He's not. And he should want to change. Right now, black people should be ashamed of themselves in Denver just for thinking that he's not capable and not even asking. Not even asking, just because you hear little bits of shit that you may or may not agree with, nobody's called up and actually talked to him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Then like I said, and he hasn't.
Go ahead, Chewbacca.
And he has access to this platform to do just that. You see what I mean? And then the cold part about it is that if they can't stand the message of what he's doing, you see, and it's only the right thing to do. You see what I mean? And you got to have a black first agenda. And like I said, Eric Adams of New York, let me see, what's her name out of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. Okay, London Bridge over there and San Francisco, you see. I mean, what are they so afraid of? You know, because they're figuring, oh, well, you know, we alienate these other groups, but the damn other groups have been alienating us, you know, for at least 150 years that I know of. You see what I'm saying?
Easily, and they still do it. Like, still getting fucking leapfrogged, even like in 2 years. Still getting leapfrogged. Motherfuckers are still doing off-brand shit. The narrative is 1 minute. Look, man, let me tell you how the force works, right? This is the force. I consider myself the force, right? Over here in Denver, I made this whole speech about the immigrant situation, right? And how much I would, how much I would take this sanctuary city away, and and what was already here, and that would be that, right? And look what happened.
Right.
All of a sudden, the president wants to go ahead and put a cap on here, do this. Then our mayor wants to only allow the immigrants for in the shelters, because I've been making an avid statement forcing this movement, right, me and Jesse, about them pushing out our natural people, our brothers and sisters that have been on the street utilizing shelters, pushing them out for immigrants, right?
Yeah.
Giving more benefits to the immigrants that came over just recently, right? And what happened?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the mayor put a 13-day cap on it in shelters. For real, you see how the force works?
Mm-hmm.
When I say that Team Paris going for the win, Team Paris is going for the win. I can say, eat your fucking and prepare yourself because it's about to get ugly. And it's just him.
Yeah.
And that's all it really should be some days.
Yeah.
And I know what you're talking about. We can't make nobody do the right thing. And not everybody can be trusted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
That's
you know, all of this here is hypocrisy. They say that's all what it is. It's nothing more than hypocrisy. You see what I mean? And this is why we created the hashtag resurrection of the mental state. You see what I'm saying? To get rid of this mental debt that we got going on from these.
Jesse told me yesterday.
From these alleged free thinkers.
Yeah, Jesse was trying to say that yesterday, you know, some people were signing the petition. He was like, man, it's a damn shame. Our people don't even want to read or actually use, you know, write or do anything. They just want the easy way, the comfortable way. And that's programming, Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's lazy programming. Man, I'm not gonna program dummy anymore. And neither should any other black person that lives in the United States of America be a program fucking dummy to the fucking media or whatever news they're getting. And it's just 10% of whatever they want to feed you and write in the newspapers and put on in their box, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need more.
You're right.
Reading and fucking information is fundamental. I don't know why nobody wants to read about the politician that is not begging them, but trying to show them the right way. We haven't begged nobody.
Yeah.
Except recently when I said
yeah.
we need Republicans and $5 for everybody. But come on, man, that's not begging. I watched for 7 months. These motherfuckers pander themselves like old prostitutes. Saying the same shit.
Yeah.
Pretty democratic talking points. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There it is. You know what I'm saying? And it's just downright insanity. It is. And it's a programmed insanity. You know? And but the sad part about it is that when you try to bring attention to this, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got people who just sit up there, you know, straight oblivious. You see, I mean, is it programmed obliviousness? I mean, is it intentional obliviousness? And then when Jeff Flowers goes out here and does all this crumb bumming because he blocked me off of his platform, which I could really care less. You see what I mean? And then, but you know, they're puppets on a puppet string. They say that's what they are. They're puppets on a puppet string. And then when you bring attention to this is why they run and hide, is because, you know, you're catching them with their pants down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Straight out. Do you know?
There's Denver podcasts. There's some podcasters here, right? There's some podcasters here. But they would rather waste their fucking time with illegitimate fucking, these illegitimate black candidates, that I like to call it, because, you know, everybody's on an agenda, right? Illegitimate black candidates that aren't focused on anything fucking for the black community, really. They're more focused on inclusivities and fucking everybody and their mother versus their own fucking people. You know what I mean? Some of them, look, one lady said, she said she was scared to come to certain areas to propagate for petition signatures and votes and whatnot. So on her shit, she happened to send an email, like a mass email to everybody and their mother, talking about, I just want to say, this bitch got her fucking shit signatures like 2 days after the petitions went out, which I found was off, just like she got her money 2 days after she announced. I found that suspect, right? So much that we had to file, I had to file a complaint. I wanted to know. But apparently they just let her slide and we're wrong and we're misinformation spreaders and trolls and fucking drama starters or whatever the fuck you want to call it, right? I'm watching this broadband and I'm like, man, they would rather waste their fucking time interviewing these off-brand fucking pretend black candidates, because they're not, in my mind, they're not black anymore. They're for everybody, right? So pretend black candidates and neglect someone they know damn well in the community. They won't even reach out and say, hey, Jesse, can we get you on the show? Can we get you to talk about your agenda? You know, we realize you haven't gotten much shine. Is there anything we could do to, you know, assist with that? Or, you know, we kind of just want to see you have a fair chance. Instead, they don't. We got motherfuckers, we got white people galvanizing, calling them all kind of fucking whatever. You got motherfuckers following us around the motherfucking city. You got the worst shit happening, right? And no one wants to assist. They don't. Then you got me making fucking PSAs talking about, at this point in time, being a program dummy is by choice. You know what I mean? You're allowing it to happen. If you're over the age of 18, you could think for yourself at this point in time, and you're allowing yourself to be fed this rigmarole and cognitive dissonance, and you're choosing to allow it. Therefore, you're choosing to be a fucking program dummy. There's no excuse for that at all, period.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, too, and once again, this is why we had created the hashtag Resurrection of the Mental Dead. It's because, you know, you get a lot of these individuals who are out here mentally dead, you see. But however, you know, I want to turn her attention to a little bit on this sportscast by the name of Skip Bayless.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Who's really been disrespecting Mr. Sharp, you know, Shannon Sharp on television. See what I mean? And when these individuals, you know, go up here and disrespect us like this, and then when we stand up to them, then all of a sudden, you know, we're the bad guy. You see what I mean? And then, of course, you know, when it comes to black media platforms, you know, they want to limit our exposure.
Yes,
and it seems to me. No, say that again, please.
That Skip has been real controversial. I mean, did everybody forget he was part of the fucking the Arkansas? I think it was Arkansas fucking his part. There's a picture of him preventing black students. You know what I mean? From going into the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can't remember the wording right now because my mind is somewhere else. And I'm working on a project at the same time.
Right.
There's a picture of him, and
right.
He looked like he was trying to prevent nothing. So he looked like he was right there with it. You know what I mean? And with all the other white men trying to force young black students from coming in the fucking school. You know what I mean? So, and that was a long time ago. And let's believe they seem to forget about that shit. That motherfucker's been a racist. And he likes to talk down to black men. He likes to talk down to black men. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's a witch. He's a fucking fortune heir, in my opinion, only. And I feel like he offers anything of substance. And with Shannon Sharp, man, I'm like, is Shannon Sharp allowing this because, you know, he don't want to upset the white money that, you know, funds him or funds his projects or whatever he's doing. I mean, because surely he could do something about this, I'm sure. He really, truly, really, truly wanted it. You know?
Right.
What's wrong with taking Skip outside and slap the fuck out of him?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, and in the street, this shit would be tolerated.
Yeah. This is. And that's for real. And then the cold part about it is that, you know, when you bring attention, you know, to these improprieties, you know, then they want to make you be the bad guy. You see what I'm saying? And that is, you know, even more the hypocrisy of the situation. Okay, because I look at Mayor Tom Bradley of Los Angeles. Okay, he didn't do nothing, you know, for the black community en masse. You know what I mean? Nothing. And he was mayor 20 years. You see what I'm saying? And he didn't do that. But they just look at, well, with him being elected, it's an accomplishment enough. My question is, okay, if that's an accomplishment, okay, then how come he was not allowed himself to be suggested to doing something specifically for the black community? Because in Los Angeles, in terms of some of the utmost discrimination, is because during the early days of Hollywood, 1920s, 1930s, and what have you, they were not allowed to stay in Hollywood. They had to go to a place called the Dunbar Hotel, which was off of 45th and Central in South Central L.A. So instead of preserving it as a historical landmark, they went and tore it down. You see the marginalization right there? You see, they went toward that. You see, and you know, that's really sad. You see, it's because there was a whole lot of history there, you know?
Yeah.
A whole lot of history, you see. But, you know, they didn't want to do nothing, you know, about it, you see. And then the cold part about it is that oh, man, it's crazy. But what I want to do, just changing the subject slightly, in California, they got the weather situation happening there. And then I'm reading a story here of a major sinkhole that swallowed up cars and floodwaters, swamped towns, and swept away a small boy was racked by more wild. Okay, I'm pulling the story up now. Oh, man, you guys, these damn guys, man, don't you know I don't want that crap? You know what I'm saying? I really don't. But anyway, you know, they got a major flooding, you know, that's going on in California, you know, right now, because, you know, they got unusual weather patterns that's happening, you know what I mean? And then they are, and I'm wondering, you know, just how deadly or how worse for the black community in California is going to be ignored with that, you know. California storms persist with the deluges and mudslide threats. Okay, Los Angeles. California saw little relief from drenching rains Tuesday as the latest in a relentless string of storms swamped roads, turned rivers into gushing flood zones, and forced thousands of people to flee in towns. But once again, here's social media is with their garbage. Okay, this is Newsbreak. You used to be able to read the full story about 2 days ago. Now they want you to install an app, and no, and I'm not doing it yet. And it says right here, our new privacy policy will go into effect January the 1st, 2023. So, yeah, no, I would not be downloading your app on my phone. Okay? I can't stand them. I really can't because I pay for the phone. I pay for the service, but you guys want to come on here with all this garbage, all these commercials. And what happened? It clogs up the phone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It clogs it up. Yeah, you see what I mean? And we pay for it, you see? We buy the phone. But it's like they control it, you see? But, you know. It is what it is. Now, they want you to install an app. No, I'm not installing your app. You know, fuck your app. You know what I'm saying? What are you paying me, you know, getting my information or anybody else for that matter? Yeah, say yes. So we can go ahead, Lady J, you know, with a little bit of time that we got left with politics from alleged free thinkers, okay? And we are discussing these current false narratives that mislead the black community politically, economically, and socially. Now, we spoke politically, now let's get on here, economics. Okay, all this garbage that they put on these tracking devices that they call your cell phone, all it is advertising. And there was a guy who was running president, I believe his name was Michael Chang, and he had made a statement that I had to agree with all this garbage that they clog your laptops with, your desktops with, your cell phones with, that these bastards ought to be sending you a check, $1,000 a month for using your personal information. You know, giving you a bunch of useless junk that you don't need, don't want, and then supposedly you got an emergency phone call that needs to be made or someone needs to call you in an emergency, but they got to go through all this garbage first. See? That's crazy. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? But, you know, you got these alleged free thinkers with their politics. Oh, well, that's how they make their money. I don't give a damn about no trillionaire going broke. I really don't. You're a trillionaire. And keep in mind, to have $1 trillion, that is $1,000 billion. You can't spend that in 5 lifetimes. $1,000 billion. So what it is time to do is to put these tech giants with their biotechnical terrorism on blast, okay? And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, definitely check out the hashtag Resurrection of the Mental Dead. And you go over there in the Silicon Game Valley, as they call it. All these places over there are posh. Real posh. But yet, though, you got Uber drivers who cannot afford to pay rent, and they're making Uber rich. Same thing with Lyft over there in San Francisco, you see. But they want to sit up there and charge like $3,800 a month rent for a single apartment in Silicon Game Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to sit up here and spam me with all this bullshit that you take your hard-earned money that you spend on these laptops or on these cell phones that ain't nothing but tracking devices. And then they're trying to flip it off to this digital currency bullshit, you know, so you don't have access to your money. They want everybody to do everything off their cell phone. You see what I'm saying? No, I go to Starbucks. Hey, I want to get a cup of coffee. I would just download an app. I didn't say nothing about no app. I said I need a cup of coffee, not no app. Well, just take your survey. No, I don't want to take your survey because I do not want all your bullshit on my laptop and on my cell phone that I might need for an emergency for myself. You're not giving me no money. And then also, Key Lady K, I know you've been exposed with them as well, too. Not exposed, but approached with them about these Cash App scams. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saying it, yeah, and I'm saying it on air now. The next so-and-so that inboxed me about a Cash App scam, talking about some government block grant automatic delete, kicking you off the friends list, and I am blocking you, okay, because I get so sick and tired of being played stupid, playing me for stupid. Go sell that garbage to Elon Musk. Go sell it to Zuckerberg. Okay, and go sell it there to their junior officers in their corporation. Better yet, go sell it to the whole staff of Facebook and Tweety Bird. You know, go rip them off. So why are you coming to me, you know, with these scams? And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, please Cash App, Shabaka Sankore, Lord K, you know, to monetize our platforms and keep our platforms, you know, from collapsing. Because, you know, we appreciate those, you know, who have supported our platforms at Frontline Black News and also to frontlinecampaign.org at the Revolutionary Agenda and also to, you know, for our StreamYard that we do every Saturday night as well, too. And we are definitely trying to make a difference for the community, you see. And then, of course, it's even been suggested is that maybe Facebook itself and Tweety Bird are throwing in these viruses to people with narratives that they don't like. You know what I'm saying? You see what I mean? Yeah, you know. And so, you know, it's just with them and their bullshit, you know what I'm saying? And what happened, you see? And then the sad part is that you get a lot of these propaganda machines, you know. And then, you know, we're not supposed to be, you know, conscious of it. And then, you know, then when we do go up here and mention something about it, you know, they call us all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? They really do. And it's just downright, you know, insanity. Now, here's some sad news coming off the streets of San Francisco. Okay, there was a homeless woman who was assaulted. And this is on Montgomery Street in San Francisco. And Montgomery Street is in the heart of San Francisco's financial district. And they got something up here on TikTok, where this dude takes a water hose and hoses down the homeless woman.
Hold on, we got a caller.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, 951-553. Good evening. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jerry. I'm calling from Denver.
Okay. Oh,
I know
it's been okay. Truth walk.
It's been a while.
Yeah, so how you been doing, Jerry?
Man, I've been doing good, but I've been sick here lately.
Okay.
But I'm
yeah. So what it is
stuff.
Is. Oh yeah. Thank you for calling. Yeah. Go ahead, lady.
What y'all talking about tonight?
Oh.
Okay, politics go ahead, Lady Che.
We're talking about Jeff Bart and, you know, the Free Think Zone and the animosity towards Jesse Peres and his campaign and, you know, just basic ignorance towards Jesse.
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm good. I guess been sick the last 10 days since the first of the year. Just to know why. But I just started calling in because I just woke up about 40 minutes ago, and my phone buzzed, and I took the phone and everything. But the only thing I say about this is this, if y'all don't mind.
Go ahead.
The time is now, and the thing about it is, with everything that's been going on with the last, 4 or 5 months toward the end of the year with Ye and Kyrie and other things that have been going on, my people still, most of my people, I don't want to get misconstrued, saying all of my people are like this. I'm just saying those that do not understand the time we are living in, and those that do not understand the time that we are here, it's just one of those things to where we have to be prevalent in what we're doing and trying to get people on board to where they don't understand that we got too many of our people still locked into the white man syndrome. And what I mean by that.
Exactly.
The white man, we got to get out of the white man syndrome. And we got to get our own. We got to build for ourselves, because that is what the Most High want us to do, you know? Period.
Yes, sir.
I've been very sick. And right now, I'm at the point to where I don't want to hang around. It's very hard to hang around my own people, because they don't want to listen. They still got that the white mentality still stuck in their mind.
Yeah.
You know, on the edge. You know what I mean? One thing. Huh?
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jerry. And this is why we're here.
They're still stuck into not re-educating themselves on who they are, but they're still stuck on trying to be in the white man way completely.
Right.
I don't mean forget what some of the things, but you take what the white man have been bred into us and you use it for your people. Jesse Perry does that, but a lot of people think that he's foolish. He don't understand. He tucking out his nose and tucking out his bottom. You know what I mean? But they don't understand that the Most High did say that he will send us leaders that will understand, but we are still stuck into the white man Christianity, a church and everything, and that is not for us. And what a lot of people fail to realize is that the church, I'm going to say it again, the church was the white man slavery whole point, to teach us what they had our people come out and tell us what they want us to know. You know, and I keep saying that they use it to enslave us and to keep us enslaved. But when we find out what it truly means, and when we get into our own history, because our belief is not religion, it's a way of life, and that's what we got to put forth. Our belief, our history, is a way of life of the world. We are the ones that are the blessed ones. We are the ones that are called. These scriptures was not given to, as they call scriptures, I can say our history, was not given to them. They stole that and re-indoctrinated us into what they want to believe. You know? So.
Absolutely.
I hate because I got sick and you can't be around a lot of white people. Because God damn, that's how I got sick. That's why I'm feeling miserable. this is the first day I have actually felt good that after since the new year, and I've been taking NyQuil and Theraflu and pills and everything to try to get this out of me, because I know I did not bring it in here. I have not been sick in years, and then all of a sudden I bring in people into my house again and I get sick, but I'm the wrong one. Jess is the wrong one. You are the wrong one.
Yeah.
Queen is the wrong one.
Yeah.
Because they know that we know who we are.
Yes,
they
sir.
They know who we are.
And then on, yes, sir. And as you know too, Brother Jerry, that any time that you speak against the popular version of what is truth, okay, with it not being the truth, okay, then of course they want to ostracize you. You see, they want to single you out because, you know, because just like the Pied Piper, man, you know, who took all the rats out of Europe, man, and had them go off the edge of the cliff or whatever into the water. You see what I mean? They want us to do that. You know, they want us to follow the Pied Piper. And Jesse Paris, you know, he's against that norm. And Jeff Flowers, you know, to me, who's one of the biggest hypocrites that I've seen. Not so much in Denver or L.A. or Chicago or New York, but period, okay? It's because when Brother Paris goes up there and tries to present his platform, you know, to be the mayor of Denver, they ostracize him. They don't like his message. Yeah, because he's speaking against the popular version of what is truth. And with that, and with them trying to prevent that man from being heard, shows the more reason of why he should be heard. See?
Yeah.
So this is why, you know, you have Frontline Black News. This is why you have Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. This is why you have the Revolutionary Agenda. You see what I'm saying? So there's platforms out there open for them. But at the same token, over social media, blog talk, YouTube, you know, and I'm checking out, you know, all of our allies on social media, yeah, they are most definitely limiting our post, you see. And the state of California with Gruesome Newsom, they need to have some type of state legislative laws there in California, because that's the only way you can regulate them. And the majority of them are based either in San Mateo or Santa Clara County in regard to your personal information. And these trillionaires, trillionaires got too much money. And as far as I am concerned, I don't have no sympathy for no trillionaires, because a trillion dollars is $1,000 billion. So you mean to tell me that these clowns cannot take $200 billion and go across various communities in the U.S. and house the homeless at least for a week? Because I'm of the opinion that, okay, if you get the mother and the children out there, okay, give her at least a week indoors. You see what I'm saying? Because she's got the baby.
Mm-hmm.
The men folk, okay, but the men folk, give them 3 days. 1 day to rest, next day to clean up. Oh, I'm sorry. It was the first day to clean up, next day to rest. His third day, his ass need to be out there trying to implement a plan at the grassroots level or from a cooperative point of view. You see what I'm saying? Of doing something, of being innovative to create businesses. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Zuckerberg, you know, they are committing human rights violations. You see what I'm saying?
But you got to understand, though, according to my
opinion, yes, sir,
and according to what I know, I'm just going to tell you straight out, and I ain't going to I ain't running for nothing. I can say what the hell I want to say. And even if I'm running for something, I will still say what the hell I want to say. The thing about it is
that
each one of the billionaires and multi-millionaires could take a house and show people. Now, I'm going to say this again. Each one of these millionaires can go out here and adopt a family and teach them how. Put them in a house, get them financially situated, and show them the right way. But they don't want to do that. Why? They don't want to do that. And that way, you will not have the problem. Any time that you allow immigrants, And I'm not knocking the immigrants. I'm not knocking it because everybody want a better life. I'm knocking that, okay? What I'm saying is,
yes,
but when you allow people from another country to come in here and outdo the people that built this country, something wrong with that problem.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely, indeed. And this is why I support Judge Jesse Parris, you know, for mayor of Denver, because when I look at the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, when I look at the mayor of San Francisco, yeah, London Bridge, okay, when I look at the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, okay, and with them being mayors of some of the major banking and financial metropolis, you know, from coast to coast, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and you are sitting up there worrying about every damn body else except your own people, something is wrong. Now, Jesse Parris is going against the norm on that as well as he should. You
yeah,
see what I mean?
Of course.
And, yeah, and the sad part is, and then you hear these OTBs, meaning other than black, all y'all should forget about slavery, that there was so long ago and all that bullshit. But you are not examining the damage that is that was caused way back then that is still prevalent today. You just hit the nail on the head with that there, Mr. Jerry. You really did.
Slavery is the slavery is not what was done in the past. It's the residual effect that has in the future of our people. And that's what they don't understand.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it might happen in
right.
the past, but we have 21st century right now, and I'm not as active as I used to be because it's a shame to me for me to go out there and do what I did along with Jesse, everything, and others, and to see them trying to whitewash, to trying to make it seem as though I did not exist, and or Jesse did not exist. And that's what perturbed me, is the fact that they trying to whitewash even what a minor man have done. Or a mild person have done that are the Israelite perspective, you know. But at the same time, I'm gonna put it to you like this: our reparation is coming. Form that y'all think is gonna come in. We are going to control the world because that, you know, like you said. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a right arm for a right arm, all of that. The Most High is going to do that for us, and he's doing it right now. Look at what's happening in the world today.
Yeah.
Right now, as we speak, we got people out here. We got people out here.
Yeah.
We got black families out here. All the curses that we had upon us, it's coming upon them, and that's what they're trying to negate, let me say.
Yes, sir.
It's just one of those things, man, to where just to know I got his back. I'm trying to have his back as much as possible. As a matter of fact, we're going to make the last little push, hopefully, to get as much bail in the box for him. As we can, he know I got his back, and he know that. He know I'm gonna make a nice donation for his campaign come March, you know, right before everything get ready to go, you know that. And but the thing about it, I'm behind him 100%. But you know what? I hate that people that we used to hang with, that we used to work with, is not behind him the way we were behind them when they were trying to get started with their organization and everything they did, they have done. Because without certain people, they would not be in existence. And then trying to continue to perpetuate on us their agenda and everything. Because they don't want my people to know who the hell they are.
Right.
Excuse me. They don't want us to know who we are. They've been known who
right.
we are. And they know that
once we actualize
and realize that we are who we are, they know they are done.
Mm-hmm.
They are
yeah.
done for. And that's I took a lot of time off, Shabaka. I took a lot of time off because I was trying.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to explore, to relearn, to reeducate myself
mm-hmm.
on the matter of things when I was a child. I went all the way back to I was a child to understand.
Right.
Father, my grandmother, my mother, my great grandmother, all of them told me, and I see that, and I
yes,
see
sir.
What's happening. But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
we have to, I'm not saying, if you use the Bible against us to keep us in slavery, and now that we find out
mm-hmm.
that this Bible is our history, which is a way of life, our health, our welfare, our
right.
being, now
yes.
they say the Bible is obsolete. It's obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
tell me.
Yeah.
It was good when y'all
yeah.
could use it against us because we couldn't read or understand. But now that we
right.
are, and then we got these rich billionaires are black. They are
mm-hmm.
beginning to understand what is. Now they're trying to say we're anti-Semitic, we this, we that. What happened
yeah.
when, what happened, what caused y'all to switch up on us? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To where now
yeah,
the Bible is no longer preference, you know what I mean? Reverence,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
To the effect. Why?
Okay, okay, hold on 1 second, Jerry. Let me interrupt you 1 second. Let me interrupt you one
okay,
second, okay? I see we got a call. Yeah, I see we got a call here out of area
okay,
code 803-6218. Okay, and if you would like to join in the conversation, you know, just press 1, and we'll be more than happy to have you on air. Okay,
yeah,
and we got 8.
Yeah, they're online.
Yeah, 803. Okay, all right.
Who is this? And welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. You're live. Whom are we speaking with? 803.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Here.
Oh, okay.
Well, do you hear my
voice?
Senior partner of the revolution, this Palmetto Star, the Ratchet Revolutionary. What's going on, Shabaka?
Hey, what's going on, Palmetto, man? Thank you for calling in, ladies and gentlemen. That is the one and only Too Raw for TV right there. And Mr. Palmetto, you know, he comes on a regular basis on Friday nights. He is up out of Florida, and the brother is very good, very knowledgeable brother, very heavy brother. And what we're talking about tonight, Palmetto, is politics from alleged free thinkers. And we're discussing these current false narratives that misled the black community politically, economically, and socially. And we're also supporting Jesse Parris, mayoral candidate for the city of Denver. And what's happening with him, man, is that they ostracizing him, man, who's playing by all the rules. This man goes out every Sunday, you know, feeds, you know, the senior citizens and all kind of weather, man. And you down there in Florida, and you know, me in California, man, so we got the sunshine. But this brother Jerry, you know, Jesse Parris, he goes out there in the snow, the cold, he doesn't miss a beat, man, you know what I'm saying? In Denver, Colorado, man,
yeah.
it gets very, very cold, you know what I mean? Brother, you will literally see all four seasons in one day in Denver, Colorado, and I would have not believed it had I not witnessed it, you know, when I stayed there for 3 years, you see? So what they're doing, Palmetto, is that they are violating the city election laws and the state of Colorado election laws against Mr. Parris. There was this guy that they got there that we are calling Jeff Flowers now by the name of Jeff Fayard, who is supporting these, how should I say, non-essential politicians. And I've called up his platform. He banned me from his platform, which I knew he would. You know me, Palmetto. You know what I'm saying? You know me, man. We both
both been there, done that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what we're doing is, man, is that his lady friend, Lady Che, you still with us, Lady Che? Yeah, she's our host tonight. And she's been putting in a lot of work with him. And Mr.
Okay.
Parrish has always been advocating, you know, the rights for homeless people there. You see what I mean? It's because the city of Denver
mm-hmm.
will go out, take city resources, remove these people's personal property, fence off the areas, just like what California is doing up in Sacramento, as opposed to taking that same revenue. Okay, and at least giving them, man, some hotel or motel vouchers, man, for a night or a couple of nights just to regroup. And I've suggested
yeah.
all along, if you got women and children out there, give them a minimum of a week. But boo, but us men folk, give him 3 days, one day to clean up, one day to rest, the next day for his ass to go out there, man, to better his situation. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because that is just a manly, yeah, that is just a manly thing to do. And then if he goes out there, man, and comes up and can maintain the facility for himself, by all means, more power to him. You see what I'm saying? And then
mm-hmm.
Also keep definitely a shout out there to Sister Rashida Strober down there. She's in your neck of the woods, you know what I mean? Dark skin activist, you know, that's making a lot of impact.
Oh, yeah.
And then as Brother Jerry was talking about, you know, been off, you know, for a minute, man, about social media, about a Silicon Game Valley, you know, was marginalizing us, man, cutting us off, not giving us the time that we need and want. And also, too, man, they downplaying our advertisement, you know, that we pay for through these cell phones, you see what I mean, and hitting us,
mm-hmm.
You know, you got all the hate speech and all that, you know, man, and just basic hypocritical hypocrisy and nonsense, man, in which we address in regard to Brother Jesse's campaign. So he is definitely
mm-hmm.
Need donations. The opposition against him, you know, is heavy, but he's the only one out there with the message that they don't want the people of Denver to hear, because he is speaking against the popular version of what is truth. The man speaking about human rights violations happening with the unhoused, you know, as you and I have done over the years, that you yourself have done. And also, too, we are reaching out to Dr. Parks. We are in communication with her because we definitely would like to have Dr. Parks on our platform, you know, that we spoke with on your platform. And she
mm-hmm.
is definitely on. Yeah, and she is definitely on something. Yeah, go ahead, Lady Che. Yeah, that is Palmetto Star. He's the host and executive producer of True Raw for TV.
Yeah, welcome, Palmetto. I called into the show the other night when you had the stock drop. Basically, what's really happening is that over here in the city of Denver, Colorado, like 27, 30 people, who knows how many at this point, I'm not even watching, running for mayor in 2023, and Jesse is the only one running on a black first agenda, and it's not
yeah.
it, you know, it doesn't resonate with the blacks that are not black anymore, and it definitely doesn't represent doesn't resonate with anybody else. And so it's been quite the struggle, being that him and I have been basically managing this campaign for like damn near 7 months by ourselves with no support, and it just burning up the streets. So there's a lot of animosity, or not animosity, but I would say a little bit of opposition, some sneak dissing, a lot of shaming that was done, you know, that's been done with the last remaining voice of a fucking all gentrified. Damn, they're all gentrified, our previous black neighborhoods. And everybody looks to this individual because, you know, they think he's, you know, the bee's knees because, you know, he got the money and, you know, he does good works when he wants to, but his programming is the problem. His programming is like a mix. Like I there's been many times where I've said that man's the enemy to black people, because one minute he's black, next minute he's wishy-washy from one minute to the next in like a 2-hour period.
Right.
And it galvanizes the whites to, you know, if anybody who's lagging on a movement galvanizes the whites to come after us in their own little way and put us in danger some days. And he doesn't, you know, really apologize for that or think about that, I don't believe. And then it also galvanizes people to not be able to think for themselves, even if they are in a free think zone. They're not really being free thinkers. They're being programmed dummies, you know? And I've been making people look, at this point in time, if you're over the age of 18, there's really no excuse for being a programmed dummy. It's like choice now. You know what I mean? Now we have a choice to either going to get on board and be black all the way, or you're going to put other agendas in front of being black. And, you know, just recently, you know, you had somebody, you know, their campaign manager, and the man is obviously black, LGBTQ, whatever, that, you know, he's made some comments in regards to, you know, I'll say T. Perez is me and him, right, being homophobic, because Jesse doubled down and said that, you know, he's on the B1 mindset. You can't bunk break, and you're not going to put him in a fucking dress. He's not going to wear a dress to elevate. He thinks anybody wearing a dress to elevate is fucking beyond ridiculous. And that's not a representation of what a black man should be ever, you know, or be forced to do that. And because, you know, I've made several comments about LGBTQ+ and et cetera, like elbow, fucking happy face, emoji, whatever. And my statement was, look, if y'all have fucking more flags than any other state or country and more acronyms that don't mean a goddamn thing. It's all weird. It's confusing. And it's got people that have decided they want to be trans and do this and this and that and haven't been literally living their true gay life for their whole life just to benefit off of what the government's giving, leapfrogging over actual tangibles and reparations, black people needs and desires, getting their movements passed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can go in all day about it. And it's offensive to actual women, real women. You know what I mean? Some things are actually offensive to real women. And so, because we made these comments and we doubled down and really stand on it, because that's on being on code, they seem to find disliking it when dude was pandering his wares as a consultant when nobody hired him. You know, he said that he made a comment and said something like, I'm expensive, meaning to me, which I was asking personally, I did that Jesse type it, was that we couldn't afford it. So I said, fuck them. It'll be all right. Don't worry about it. Out, you know, for the street, I'll figure it out. I figured it out. And then now he's representing this motherfucker wearing a dashiki, right? Talking about his whole black self and representing a white woman in this alleged free think zone to pander to candidate, right? And just highlighting this white woman. And then the blacks that come on there like, well, just because so, or allegedly black, and a white woman, they choose a white woman. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with the world? No. And that's where we're at. That's the discussion today. So welcome, Palmetto. Glad to have you on the show. What'd you like to say?
Yes, well, you know, I definitely support the brother, Jesse Perez. You know, we follow each other on Twitter, along with other social media, and I've seen his platform of Black First Tangibles, and you know they are very resistant on that. They are very resistant of reparations, very resistant on anything real, very resistant on the change that's happening. But it's happening, and it's going to happen inevitably. So they are just very resistant on this inevitable change that's happening. And, you know, they have a debt that needs to be paid, and it's going to be paid one way or the other. You know what I'm saying?
Fact.
It's going to be paid one way or the other. So you know, when people are showing the tab, you know, showing what they are owed, you know, showing that the bill, you know what I'm saying? It's just like you're letting people know what's really happening, the crimes that have been committed. You know, America is not just a country, it's a big crime scene. And it's the biggest crime scene in the world. And so,
yes,
and so when you show these thieves, when you show these murderers, when you show these rapists what they have actually done, you know, they are very resistant on that. They don't want that to happen. That's why they're very resistant of the, you know, the critical race theory. They're very resistant on things show their crimes, that show that they owe money, that show that they're still benefiting from the crimes and benefiting from the thievery. You know, you have this whole county in Georgia. That's where I'm at, Shabaka, as well, Atlanta, mm-hmm. Georgia. But, you know, they have this whole county in Georgia, that Forsyth County, that they ethnic cleansed all the 1,000 residents that were there, kicked them out of their houses, hung two black teenagers for quote-unquote rape, that back in the days that, you know, that they probably didn't even have any knowledge of whatsoever. And then they moved into their houses. They moved into these people's houses and claimed, claimed dominion over that. You know, they claimed adverse possession.
Eminent domain.
They claimed adverse possession of these people, of all these black people's houses. And these people still live in these houses. You have whole families of people that still live in these houses. That's what I talk about with Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street, didn't happen in a bubble. It happened all across the country. You know, Black Wall Street happened in California. It happened in Florida. There was different places that, you know, they came and they...
Florida.
Exactly. And so, you know, you have these people, they kicked them out of their houses. They moved their families in them, and these pink people are still living in these houses. That's how they're passing on generational wealth, by the houses and all that stuff they sold. So, you know, and I'm so glad that people are bringing this conversation to the forefront, this conversation about reparations. That matter of fact, we're talking about that this Thursday on Too Raw for TV. We're actually continuing that conversation and saying, do we have to use voodoo? Do we have to use our ancient black practices along with this to really bring it to the forefront? So that's what we're talking about this Thursday on Too Raw for TV. We're talking about do we have voodoo and reparations? You know, do we have to bring So that's what we're talking about this Thursday on Too Raw for TV. So, you know, that's so important. The conversation is so important. And guess what? You're going to pay up regardless whether or not you want to, because it's a debt that's owed. You owe us everything.
Right.
So you need to pay up.
Right.
And guess what? Now we're calling on Oshun. We're calling on Papa Legbo. We're calling on all of these voodoo deities that are going to see to the fact that you are going to pay this debt off.
No, yes, sir. And then also, too, Palmetto, if I might add. Okay. It's okay. Let me say this here, Jerry. Then I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. Okay. California is currently dealing with the reparations issues because of Gruesome Newsom, who is the current governor of California, who is Nancy Pelosi's nephew, by the way, Gavin Newsom. Okay. They are putting together a board or a panel of dealing with the reparations issue in California. Now, I've been having a lot of opposition on social media about it, but the thing is, you have to understand is that when California became a state in 1849 and drew up its state constitution, they had ruled slavery illegal. But then when the gold rush happened, man, and everybody was bum-rushing Placerville up there, the Hangman Street, is that a lot of people were bringing their slaves there to mine the gold. And then there was a case of a woman who was a slave, brought to California, who was forced to go into the gold mines, right? And so then they got wind, you know, that people from the South, you know, the slave traders, that is, was having their slaves going up there mining the gold. And then there was a couple of cases of where the sheriff, one in L.A. County, and I think another one up there in Stanislaus County, but I'm not sure. But I do know the sheriff of L.A. County
had informed this woman, well, since you're in California, ma'am, you are not a slave. You know, California is not a slave state. It's state constitution yeah. prohibited it, and so you are free to go. You see what I mean? And so quite natural, of course, mm-hmm. the one that brought her here, you know, he didn't take it all that well, you know, but not that we could really care. But what it is, and then just like the area of Hollywood, California, and Beverly Hills, that was owned by a black woman at one time all the way up until about the late 1890s when D.W. Griffith and Warner Brothers came out there and put her off of her land. You see what I mean? And then also, too. Look at what they did to Mr. Oscar Mashore, you know, who was a black filmmaker, you know, in the 1920s and 30s. You know, he didn't get proper credit. They stole a lot of his innovation and ideas as well, too. Look at what they did to Paul Ropes, the one that made the film The Emperor Jones about 1934, I think, okay, if memory serves me correct. Also, too, look at what they're doing to Kanye. Then just like our promo Universal Music Group, they give Lil Wayne $100 million. You see what I'm saying? But you could bet that they're gonna make billions off of it. And then let's look at our sister Cicely Tyson of what she said in her autobiography called Just As I Am that I'm currently reading, and I got it up on the shelf. Is where when she was auditioning the part for Sounder in 1972. A white producer came up there and said, the only thing you niggas want is sex, drugs, and violence, and we're about to give you a belly full. So then out comes the movie Superfly, Cleopatra Jones, The Mac. You see what I'm saying? Where they refer to our women with the B word and got our women playing hookers and stuff like that. You know, as Dr. Francis Cress Wilson said, it was part of social engineering project, and Brother Paris, you know, he did a story with us about a year and a half ago about that, going over what the good doctor said. And then also, too, Palmetto, did you see my live feed last spring where I went down there on Hollywood Boulevard, and I went there, like I said, I would do up there to the Kodak Theater where they'd bring me the Academy Awards and told them what they were.
No, I don't think I saw that. What happened with that?
Okay, no, I was just, putting that out there because I did promise our listeners that I would do it, and I did do it. So, go on the like page of Shabbat Black Experience Enhanced, and you have to scroll all the way down, back to March. And then keep in mind, too, is that they are limiting our posts. They do it with you. They do it with us here at Frontline Black News. They do it with Kevin Barnes, you know what I'm saying? They do it with Jay Dizzle, and then talking about, this is hate speech that you're putting out here, but I'm seeing all across this internet this NGR term and stuff like that. And then one of these bastards had audacity to say, well, I said nigger, and I didn't say nigger. There's a difference between the two. Oh, I know the difference between the two is this left-hand foul by the right cross will get your mind right, okay? And I'm not advocating no violence or what have you, but as you said, brother, they're going to pay this debt one way or another. It's strictly up to them, and nobody's advocating no violence. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The debt will be paid. Okay. The debt will be paid this way. See,
yeah.
I'm a biblical scholar. I'm always into the word. I'm always into our history, whether you want to call it our history or biblical. That is our history. That he, the Most High, had this word preserved for us for this time. And the reason why he had this word preserved for this time is for such time as this, as they say. But it's also that no man will be able to buy you or to set you free. The only way that we can become free is by returning back. Because you have to understand, we have to understand that we have to go back to our own history. Religion is not a belief. It is a way of life for us. See, the word was given to no one but us, but the true Israelites of the world. And I'm not an Israelite. I am an Israelite, but I'm not the Israelite that y'all have seen, IUIC or anything like that. I have known this since I was a boy. I first learned how to read. The thing is this. Everything is happening. When everything is all said and done, when the Most High hear our calling, we won't be able to sell ourselves once. We don't have no army. We don't have weaponry. We don't have none of that. And he's got to maintain his church. I'm going to say that again. His church. Because those, and I know the ones who are really into that has the spirit of the Most High, Elohim, Hashir, Hamashir, on them. I know them. Those are the ones that I try to hang around with a lot. Mostly I'm by myself. But at the same time, I'm just trying to tell you, all of this belongs to us. And that is what they don't want y'all to recognize. This is because they still have their footprint on our neck in such a way that the people that have think they have made it, but have not made it in the way the Lord wants them, because he gave them that which they have, the millions, the riches, the whole nine yards. Some of them have come to light, like Ye, Kyrie, and others. They have said, but you still have those house niggas. I'm sorry to say it, but you still have those house niggas. They're not up here.
Oh, yes,
they're
sir.
Not trying to get free. They think they still have an opportunity. Oh, master, this is our house. Oh, no, it's not. That's the master house. It is your house when you can come and go when you want to go when you want to. And that is the thing. And now that we are beginning, some of us that have woken, have beginning to call upon the Most High, he hears. But there are some or more that got to come into the covenant and continue to go. Our belief is not a religion. It's a way of life. It's a way of life to the point to where we have to understand that we are here because of our ancestors, four generations, five generations back, to where now we are beginning to awaken into who we are. And once enough of us become awakened enough and begin to call upon the Lord and repent and say, Lord, yes, our ancestors did wrong, but we are willing to follow you, we can make a difference and shit will change. And that is what they continue to try to put their foot on our neck upon to continue to control us. But our leaders do not understand that, because of why? They believe in one thing, money. Who made money?
Right.
Man made money.
Man.
White man made money. And once we understand that money, we need money to survive, to buy goods, to buy services, to take care of ourselves. But at the same time, we can't not depend on that. We have to depend on the Most High, because the Most High put us in the situation. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, a lot of my people don't understand. The fact is that as long as you continue to be in the white man's governmental, the white man ideology or shit, we are going to continue to be that way. And we have to raise up ourselves, and we have to go back. Don't read the Bible the way we were taught when we were younger and our ancestors were taught, and pass on that bullshit, that tradition. We have to get back to our original agenda that the Most High has set before us. And once we do that, then and only then will everything that the white man are making will become ours. And that is our reparation. Because at the end of time, all of this is going to belong to us at the end anyway. And that's why that's why I've been trying to tell people for, and just to know, I have been trying to tell them about this for a very long time. You might not believe in God. You might not believe in Elohim. You might not believe in HaMashiach. But the point is, you got to believe in something. And you cannot believe in yourself because yourself cannot do anything without having a higher spirit. That's all I'm just saying. And the higher spirit is the Most High, and that is Elohim. And once we get the call on him, that's when we will begin to prosper and see. As you can see, there was a time, crack, drugs, and murder, and all that good stuff were infestation into our own culture. And as you can see now, they don't know what way to go because it is in their culture, because the curses upon us is slowly being lifted according to the time. That's all I got to say.
We got we got 13 minutes left.
Yeah, okay.
Closing statements.
Okay, we got 13 minutes left, okay, and I just want to say this right here. Okay, yeah, they're going to pay these reparations one way or another. Okay, it's because of Brother Jerry speaking about it. Yeah, it's on the spiritual plane because, as we all know, and you had hit on this here too, Brother Palmetto, you got the spiritual plane, you got the physical plane, and you got the mental plane, okay? And all three of these elements got to operate in cohesiveness, you see, each other nature. And that's why down there in your state, man, and I really wish in the state of Florida will impeach, arrest, recall Governor DeSantis, is because I'm not going to spend a dime in the state of Florida, although I visited one. But he says they got a law down there is that if you speak about the history of slavery in a great state of Florida where they practice slavery, okay, then you're guilty of a misdemeanor because you are making white folks feel uncomfortable about critical race theory. So therefore, to all these hypocrites, that is the biggest contradiction that I ever saw. That's not a paradox. That's a contradiction. Okay, because a paradox is a contradiction, which is true, such as the hummingbird. Mathematically, it can't fly, but at the same token, when you see it does fly, it's quite agile with it, okay? So therefore, like on these other podcasts that I've been on, like what is that one there, the First Republic with Joe Gibson and what have you. You know, I've been called every nigger, black son of a bitch, this, that, there, the other. And they tend to try to push that line. Well, you know, it was your people that sold themselves into slavery, but what you fail to realize is that as the slave market expanded, you went there and started capturing the people, including the ones that did the self. Look at the case of Joseph Sinkew. That there was the king's son. So if the king sold his own people into slavery, he would sell his own son. So that there is what blows that out the water. Okay? In the case of the Amistad. Okay? And then to mention, like all the rebellions that you had, like from what I understand, Palmetto, correct me if I'm wrong, this is on your side of on the East Coast of the Gulag Wars in the Carolinas. Also, what happened with the Seminoles down there in Florida, okay, because a lot of runaway slaves had taken up refuge with the Seminoles. And then I think it was Sherman who had, at the end of the, the U.S. military that tried to come down here under the Fugitive Slave Act to recover the slaves. And I believe that Chief of Osceola had told him, he said, look, fools, check this out, man. You know, they here, they free here, man. And you got like about 5 minutes to get your ass up out of here, man. Otherwise, we're going to feed you to these alligators down here, you know. Also, they got up out of Dodge, man. You know, it's because I've been down here to Florida, Palmetto. I've seen a little bit of your swamp land, man. And I'm going to have to say, sir, I'll take the desert, man, over the swamp land. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, One thing. I'm not in Florida, but I am in Georgia. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. But yes, when you the Seminole Wars did happen in Florida. You know, Georgia was a buffer state. Dr. Claude Anderson talks about this. He talks about this on Two Roper TV, how Georgia was a buffer state between the escaped slaves from South Carolina to Florida. So they gave the state of Georgia basically to the Irish. This is part of their crimes. This is why they were the first police officers. When you see a lot of Irish across the country and these police officer roles, it comes from slave catchers. It comes from being slave catchers. They gave them the state of Georgia so that there would be a buffer between the runaway slaves in South Carolina to the Seminoles in Florida, because that's the people that were going, and they were fighting these slave owners prior to the Civil War, and that's actually why they freed the slaves. People think that some white man in some beat up blue hat representing the nation. You know, they represent the nation and not the Confederacy. Is the reason why black people were freed, and that's not true. It was because of these Seminoles going and standing up and, you know, freeing these slaves and being, burning down these plantations, and they couldn't fight back against them. So that was the real reason why the slaves were freed, not because, you know, so pink people woke up with the consciousness and wanted to free some slaves. Yeah. So let's get that out of there. You know,
you're down there.
I agree with the brother. We had to call up and conjure in our spiritual.
No, no, the five
you
teams.
Conjuring what works. Like, you know, you see what happened in Haiti. Haiti is the first black nation that used voodoo in their freedom and liberation movement. Mm-hmm. And so taking that example and applying it to now reparations, it makes absolute sense. So, it's about that, and I'm definitely about the brother Jesse and 100% with him and what he's doing out there in Denver with getting those tangibles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But
okay,
you're down there with the
five C's.
You're down there with the Tech Charles, Chickasaw, the Creek, and the Chickasaw, the five C's, the five civilized nations of indigenous people. All of that was right down there in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas. All of that was the five civilized tribes of indigenous people. But I'm from there. I'm from Alabama. I'm from Anderson, Alabama, to be exact. And I know the history. And I know my grandpa, Paul Jesse, he built the church, and he called it Oconee. Oconee is an Indian tribe that was in Alabama. Some of them are still there, I'm not sure. I just know my grandmother was a slave, and my great-grandmother and great-grandfather were slaves back in Alabama. So I understand where you're coming from, brother, but I also understand it's not like it used to be, but it ain't nothing changed, because change of one kind does not mean change of another. Whether you change up and you have to understand that the 21st century slavery is what it is, but they don't want us to know who we really are and where we came from. And that's what we must get back to, knowing who we are. And that's why I always say, re-educate yourself, because there is a debt that America owes, not only America, but the world owes, that will be paid.
Right.
But it will not be paid by no other, it will not be given to us by no other man or anything. It will come because of the Most High, who put us here because of our ancestral roots, have disobeyed him and went out of the nation. And that's why we came to be where we are, the Judah tribe, Benjamin, and some of Benjamin and some of Simeon, and a little bit of Levite came into the existence into the America. But other tribe of us is still overseas right now. The Judah was the only one that will prophesy that will be spread throughout the entire world, the four corners of the world. So I'm just saying, I understand that. I really do. And I do believe that. And I do believe that we don't have a religion. We have a belief. We have a way of life that we have to get back to. And that is through the commandment, tradition, and laws that the Most High gave to Moses in the desert.
Okay. And that there would be and that there would be in my region out here in the desert, Nevada, California, Arizona, and what have you. And then, of course, just to show you, you know, how the Most High or the Almighty is exacting his revenge, man, because look what's happening in California right now. It's being flooded, and it's being hit by what they call the cyclone bomb. But you got to look at all the misery and treachery in the history of the state of California. And, you know, the Almighty executing that wrath. I mean, look, you got these trillionaires out here, man, and who could help every homeless person, man, in the United States. Hell, I'm willing to bet money, man, they would even give them tax breaks on them, you see. But due to corporate greed and pushing certain agendas, man, you know, they don't want to do that. But right now, we're in our last 3 minutes, so we want to give everybody like about 30 seconds, you know, to make their closing statements. And we definitely appreciate Palmetto Star coming on. You know, he's the executive producer of True Rock TV. Definitely check out the brother's platform. You know, Palmetto is heavy. You know what I mean? Palmetto is everywhere. So that is my closing statement on that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, stay dangerous, stay alert, and protect yourself at all times. Okay, Lady Cherry, we're going to go to you, then we're going to go to Brother Jerry, and then we're going to go to Palmetto on the closing statement. So they allow us to go all the way to the end because they have been cutting us off back on the minute.
Well, of course, thank you, fellas, for joining me tonight. This is our first episode of the new year. Just because, obviously, we've had an exhausting day. If you look at the page, you'll see hours of video. I want to thank you guys for joining us. Of course, you're always welcome. I want to thank the anchorman who tapped out. I think his phone died. Ramel Understanding, I want to thank you for chiming in and definitely throwing some perspective. I thank Jerry Burton for popping in, and I hope you get well soon, brother. And Palmetto, thank you for coming on. Hope to jump on your program. And Shabbat, as always, thank you. Everybody stay black, dangerous. Look out for your brothers and sisters. Protect your women and children. And stay black, stay highly favored. Go ahead, Shabbat, or whoever.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad I picked up the phone tonight. I have not been finished well. And thank you, Queen, for wishing me good help and wellness. And I just want to say, spread the word that the Most High is for us. We are the chosen one. And we will always be the chosen one. And there's nothing that the white establishment or the white man can do to punish that. And just remember that our history is history. It is also a way of life for us to be healthy and well. And may the Most High bless you and continue to do the things. And Queen, so just give him a call because I got a donation for him. Okay?
Will do. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, all right, okay, Brother Palmetto Star, sir.
All right, if you hear my voice, then you're part of the revolution. Palmetto Star and Ratchet Revolutionary, host of Two Wrong for TV. We're on every Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com/Two Wrong for TV, TWORAWFOURTV. The call-in number is 516-453-9174. And this Thursday, we're going to talk about voodoo and reparations and how we are entering and bringing that spirit into the reparations today, the same spirit that won Haiti their independence, the same spirit that Black people have been using since the beginning of time, but predates all religions, have been using.
Yes,
so we're going to be talking about that with Buzz and Courtney Omega Doss from P4R.today. If you want your reparations now, they're on a campaign to make plantations reparations, because Black people built all of these reparations, all of these plantations. There's over 50,000 plantations all across the nation that Black people have built, that they never have profited off of them, and they're still getting profited from of pink people. Pink people are still profiting from these plantations, so we're talking about that with them. So join us, blogtalkradio.com/TooRawForTV. This Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can hit me up on Twitter at Palmetto_Star, and I'm on Instagram at WinTheRevolution. Definitely salute to you, Brother Shabaka, and your Black experience.
Yes, sir. Okay, and thank you so very, very much, ladies and gentlemen, and this here concludes our first episode of the year of January 10th, 2023, so you could definitely follow us on Twitter at Shabaka Capital EX. Finally, hit the like page on Facebook called Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, because that there is where we put up the information for our upcoming episodes. So what we're going to do is that we're going to go out with a song by the OJs in 1973, and they'll probably kill it in the middle of it, but it does fit the occasion. And the name of this song, ladies and gentlemen, is Ship Ahoy by the OJs.
Thank you. coming to the land of liberty, where life's design is already made. So young and so strong, they're just waiting to be saved. Oh, I'm so tired, and I know you're dying too. Look over the horizon, see the sun shining down on you. Yeah.